Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this fifth day of May 2023. Happy Feliz Cinco de Mayo. I'm Robin. It's Friday on the front porch on the Horn, and that means here in about an hour we will gather together in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we hold our weekly... still getting used to the new levels. Wherein we hold our week-ending roundup of things that are on the front porch crew's mind. You don't need an invitation to participate in the Friday on the Front Porch. You're welcome to jump right in. There's a link at the top of the page. It'll carry you right over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree. We do, in fact, sublet from the Keebler Elves and around which we gather at the Extraordinary Ordinary Round Table each and every Friday. But I'm getting ahead of myself because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. And so as a consequence, I say thank you very kindly to Kenda in Missouri and Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thank you so much. And, Kevin and Kenda are our fifth day of the month subscribers. Thank you as well to David in Oregon, who says, last final on Friday, then done with the first year of law school. And then some rough news. They denied my federal student loan for the second year, so I don't know how I'm going to pay for summer session tuition or tuition for the fall or rent for June, but I refuse to give up. Oh, David, you don't need that stress. I'm so sorry. Never give up, never surrender, and thank you. And thanks as well to Dave and the Blind. Thank you, Dave. Much appreciated. So that means that our fundraising goal is down to, $640. $640 to end the first week of May to the good. And, move toward the harrowing Appalachian power bills that bedevil me. They tusk me. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. So a reminder, of course, if you're listening to the podcast, please, whatever platform you're listening on, like and subscribe and leave a comment. It's much appreciated, and that's about the best way we can go about trying to grow the program. If you're a new listener to the program, hey, welcome. Pop on by the chat room if you'd like. It's free. Everything about the Horn is free. There's no bills for anything. But if you happen to go by, if you're listening live, and you pop by headon.live and you click on chat room, and jump in, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers, Theo and Squeaky and Kid Mark and Irish Dave and Anatole. Hey, y'all. Happy Friday. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, has chosen not to fold space and remains man cave. He is capably assisted by his longtime colleague, Horn, chief mathematician and chief agronomist and bud trimmer emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. So we will, I'm curious to see what folks want to talk about when we get to the roundtable this evening. And by the way, new voices are always welcome on Friday on the Front Porch. It would be grand to hear from some more folks. I don't know, Ralphs. Ralph's asking, is Steve from New York in London for the coronation? That maybe he'll tell us. Darlene in Connecticut says, oh my God, there's this most massive, gorgeous rainbow in my backyard right now. The individual color bands are enormous, like thick. Pink, yellow, green, blue, purple, even white. Never seen anything like it. Hope it ain't too woke, but I love rainbows. I know, I do too. Every now and then we'll get a double one around here, and those are just gorgeous. Enjoy it. They're rare enough to be really special. Across the river, this being Cinco de Mayo, they're having a Cinco de Mayo festival or party or whatever over in Oak Hill. And my friends with the 304 food truck have brought in a guest chef for the day, dear friend of mine, Oscar Aguiar, who was formerly the proprietor of Diogi's in Fayetteville. Ah, the carnitas will be muy delicioso. That's the extent of my terrible Spanish. So where do we begin this evening? Well, why deviate from a good thing? There they are again. America's crooked as a dog's hind leg couple. Fappy and Ginsurrectionist. It's gone from being a drip, drip, drip thing with Fappy and Gin. Fap, Fap and Gin, Gin and Har, Har. Leonard Leo has entered the room. Yesterday, Friday, a short time, well, I only saw it after the program was over. Just as well, really, because I'm beginning to have a hard time keeping up with the torrent of corruption that is Fap Fap and Gin Gin and Har Har and Lee Lee. We're gonna need a program before long. Leonard Leo, of course, is also another ugly, corrupt Republican. And according to the Washington Post article of yesterday evening, Lee Lee made it possible for Gin Gin to rake in tens of thousands of dollars for consulting work about 10 years ago. I'm sorry, yesterday, I am addled. Thank you, Ralphs. Let me see here. Yesterday, Thursday. Sorry. Yesterday, Thursday. I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, yeah, Lili directed Kellyanne Conjob, back before she became a maggot advisor, Well, she ran an outfit called the Polling Group. And Lili told Kel, this is getting out of hand, to direct tens of thousands of dollars, again, for consulting work, to Jinjin, and did so in such a fashion that, well, it just makes it appear all the dirtier. It's kind of like in the story yesterday, which happened to be Thursday, the 4th of May. I've not come completely unglued. You might recall that $5,000 was given by an RV buddy in the pest control business to FapFap for help with his grandnephew's private school tuition. You might also recall that FapFap actually included the $5,000 on his Supreme Court disclosures, which goes to make the tuition gifts from Har Har pretty patently dirty and gives pretty good idea that FapFap knew that they were dirty. Well, the same thing obtains with regard to Jinjin and the money from Lili through Kel. Because it turns out, according to the Washington Post story, that Lili gave the money to Kel for Jinjin, which of course benefited FapFap, and Lili directly told Kel, make no mention of Jinny. Over at Mediaite, Kel spoke to them and said, this is 2012, according to the Washington Post. Leonard Leo's quote in that article, I think it's an important quote. He says, I've known the Thomases. They've been my friends since 1990. Again, after FapFap went onto the bench. And I'm very mindful of how vicious and gossipy people can be, so I always try to protect their privacy and their safety. Viciousness from 10 years ago, 11 years ago, has turned into violence now, where people are outside of Supreme Court justices' homes trying to assassinate Justice Kavanaugh while his wife and daughters are sleeping in that home, so these people will stop at nothing. They want Clarence Thomas to resign so Joe Biden, of all people, can replace him with one of his own in this case. Jenny Thomas was one of my contractors, and she had work with the Heritage Foundation. She was part of the grassroots, is part of the grassroots. The maggots have no grassroots. It's all AstroTurf. She had worked in the Reagan administration. This is a serious person who, for years, had worked in public policy and at the polling company. We did public opinion research and data analytics. We had no business before the court. Notice that? How she just quietly explains away being instructed to give money to Jinjin, but make sure that nobody found out she gave money to Jinjin. And then all of a sudden, it's about, they're trying to assassinate Brett Kavanaugh. Whose mortgage, by the way, was probably paid for by Lili. And his credit card debt, and his beer tab at Nationals Park, and his baseball ticket debt. Duh! Oh, stand by. I am so terribly sorry. I hate it when that happens, when phone calls come in that there's no way not to take, and that's exactly what that was, but I tried to get back as quickly as I could. No, the stream did not die. That was me going silent. I'm sorry, the program is going by fits and starts so far. It's really tough on the energy of the program. Emilio said, har har, lee lee, jin jin, fap fap. What is this, a podcast on breeding captive pandas? I like that. Jude says, yeah. Thank you, Jude. Classification necessary. Lee in New York says, I officially state that I am not affiliated with Lee Lee. Switch to Jim Justice accent. In no way, shape, form, or fashion. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, different Lele. By several tens of millions of dollars, no doubt. And Metin, San Francisco. Subject line, Uncle Thomas. How long until we find out Mr. Leo has secretly sent money to Clarence's third cousin? I mean, at this point, he's purchased Clarence, his wife, Jenny, his mom, and a grandnephew. Our collective inability to fix the Supreme Court doesn't bode well for avoiding a full-on fascist takeover. I hope I can get out before they start making me wear the pink triangle. If you knew the amount of time I spend thinking about that, Matt, maybe that explains why I'm a little addled. From time to time. I'm making clear that that wasn't the stream dying; it was just dead air. But you're right, Matt. And you know they're probably look. We knew this way back. You know, I refer to the Supremes now as our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties. But the fact of the matter is, fat dead Tony Scalia, and it's not about being Catholic. Joe Biden's Catholic. I have no gripes with Joe Biden. John Kennedy was Roman Catholic. Really, really Roman Catholic, just like Joe Biden. I got no gripe. It's the virulently fascist, weirdo Catholics, like fat, dead Tony Scalia, like Sammy Bad Breath, like Fappy. You know, the hair shirt, barbed wire around the thigh, flagellating themselves, misogynistic, make the women clean the rooms, Opus Dei-type Catholics. And remember, yes, really, Opus Dei. And remember, Opus Dei was founded by a Spanish Roman Catholic fascist. Okay? What was his name? Echevarria? My Spanish, it sucks. And he's halfway to sainthood, maybe? Yeah, he was pinochle playing buddies with the Generalissimo Francisco Franco, who, by the way, is still dead, and whose buddy just got his bones dug up and buried in a private cemetery because of a law that the Spanish government passed to ban the burial of fascists in places of honor. The Spanish, having lived under fascism, have a better understanding of how ugly, bloody, and hateful it is. But the problem is, our most puissant, dread, sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties are Roman Catholic fascists. Sonia Sotomayor is Catholic, but she's not one of those hair shirt types. Let's see, Ketanji Brown Jackson is Baptist. Elena Kagan is Jewish. And I think there's one Whiskey Episcopal in amongst our most puissant, dread, sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties, or started out Episcopal and then became a hardcore... I don't know any... I don't know any better words than weirdo fascist. Yeah, there. Thank you, Flavio. Somehow I knew you would know. Opus Dei was founded by Jose Maria Escriva. Escriva, because of the accent aigu over the ah. Thank you. But he was stone cold fascist. I remember Fat Dead Tony's daddy was a Mussolini fanboy and head of the Mussolini fanboy club in the United States. And so when Matt in San Francisco says it doesn't bode well for avoiding a full-on fascist takeover, Matt is right. And the target is the LGBTQ community initially. They'll get around to the Muslims and the Jews and, you know, the usual suspects, because fascists always have to have someone to beat on, to point to and blame for being the source of all the country's woes. But please understand, when Matt says, I hope I can get out before they start making me wear the pink triangle, he's not being sarcastic. Matt's not being facetious. Matt is dealing with a reality that is inescapable for anyone who is presently targeted. And let me see if I can show how. Let's take potty bills, just as a for instance. They haven't passed any up here yet. They'll get around to that maybe next legislative session. I feel like with the end of the West Virginia legislature's session, I've kind of gotten a year-long reprieve to try to get things together until I really do have to flee. And it's feeling more and more and more like I am. Not because I want to, but because it'll be a matter of that or die. And I don't look good in martyr's weeds. So, let's take Florida and their bathroom bill. Well, according to the bill that eventually passed and will be signed by Monkey Up, it applies to government buildings. It doesn't apply to private spaces, because they watered it down in a little bit in hopes of having it be constitutional. According to that bill, if a trans person is in a restroom and someone objects to that person being in the restroom, and these being government buildings, you can bet there will be an objector there, they have the right under this bill to say, "Get out!" And if the trans person doesn't get out, then the cops come and arrest the trans person. Or, suspected trans person, because this will be used in, for instance, women's restrooms. This will be used to enforce gender conformity on butch lesbians. It happens a lot. It probably happens to butch lesbians more than it happens to trans women. So how does the cop figure out if someone is trans, especially if they pass? Will there be an on-the-spot genital inspection? That would serve no purpose with people who are post-op. How about a strip search? Maybe they can start, you know, measuring things like, I don't know, head circumference or any of the other weird shit that these transphobic pricks focus on. And this is not, I promise it's not the whole program. But I want us to understand, and I want to make clear what Matt said about the pink triangle. Because one way to make sure that there wouldn't be any mistakes made would be if you made trans people wear some sort of symbol of being trans. Like maybe a pink triangle. Or maybe a pink T. Or how about a pink blue, pink, white, and blue tee affixed to the clothing. You know, that would be cute. That would be in the colors of the trans pride flag. And you move on from the pink triangle to the yellow Star of David to the red crescent moon to the saffron lotus. And then, of course, well, the right people won't have to do that. That's how fascism works. And I hope the cishet members of the Horn Family Community Congregation can understand how absolutely terrifying that is. The Attorney General of Missouri has already calculated the precise number of trans people in Missouri. And if they know the number of them, they know their names. This is the stuff of nightmares. I've been worrying and talking about the rise of fascism in the United States for virtually the entire history of this program. Long before I ever had to worry about being part of a class that would be rounded up. Because we on the left have something called, you know, the left, right? We normal people have something called empathy. And so I hope some of that can be doled out for the people who are under attack now. Right now, the leading candidate for my refugee status is probably New Mexico. And I don't even begin to know how I'm going to do it. This isn't a therapy session. But I know when I pull out of the driveway, when I leave, and the show will continue somehow. But I know when I pull out of the driveway, when I leave, that I will never see my loved ones again. Because it's a long, long way away. That's horrifying. I will be utterly, completely, and totally alone. As are the people who are already fleeing. So when Matt voices his fears, please know he's not being
hyperbolic. It's terrifying. Billable Rick, hey. Hey, Robin, can you give us a health report on Rushbo? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I can. The America's Truth Detector is still dead. And there has been, it has been a very, very successful, it was a very successful pineapple harvest season in the southern hemisphere of hell. So there is no shortage of pineapples for the man with half his brain tied behind his back. I was thinking about that scenario earlier today, and I was trying to remember. I was thinking of all the people that he attacked in his miserable, misbegotten life. And I actually wondered if there was like sort of a two-way mirror that the people he tormented could look through, you know, from up in, you know, the celestial kingdom, and watch him get his just desserts. Billable Rick, I did hear him. I did get word that he had taken to screaming, "Tucker Carlson, you'll be down here soon enough." He's L. Rushbo apparently has a list. "You too, O'Reilly. You stole my shtick." Uh-huh. Well, I mentioned testicle toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson, masculine man of masculinity. Because, well, of course. Oh dear, Steve in New York says, Rushbo, breaking news. The pineapple broke off. There's no 911 in hell, so the treatment's X-lax. Watch this space. Don't watch there. That's... he's gonna blow! God. Justices, Elena Kagan is Jewish and Ketanji Brown Jackson is Baptist. Yes, the rest are Roman Catholic. Thanks, Ralphs. Okay, before we go to Tucker, let's deal with this. So once again, we have undisclosed income with regard to Fap Fap and Jin Jin via Lee Lee and Har Har. But we do have to take note of two more Supreme Court justices, and this is more in the way of an example of why there needs to be rules that forcibly compel justices to behave ethically, because they don't seem to do a very good job of making their own calls. And I hate the fact that it involves one of the three so-called liberal members of the court, but it does, and we have to deal with reality. Hey, Steve in New York, Rauch has asked, did you go to the coronation, or are you still here in the States? Yeah, I'm sorry, the colonies. Let us know. No, Ann's boy Neil, who's dirty. Oh, we're going to, hang on, we got to deal with Rush some more. Flavio says, with half his brain tied behind his back. He was alluding to his BDSM fetish, so he's tied up whilst receiving the reverse pineapple. Oh, yeah, and there's a tennis ball and duct tape involved. Where do you think Jerry Falwell Jr. learned how to, yeah, learned about it, you know, with Becca. Becca. Now, Sonia Sotomayor and Anne's boy Neil have book deals. And they've made some nice coin off of it. You would think maybe that a Supreme Court justice shouldn't be able to do book deals, but you would think wrong. Sonia Sotomayor got a book deal from Knopf Doubleday Publishing Group, which in turn is owned by Penguin Random House. It's almost as though all the major publishing houses have been consolidated, you know, a monopoly. Antitrust Act? What Antitrust Act? Sotomayor has made some nice coin. She's pulled in $3.6 million in royalties and advances, having published several books under Knopf Doubleday Publishing Group. That's according to the disclosure forms that she actually filed. And Anne's boy Neil has raked in $655,000 from Penguin Random House. He wrote a book called A Republic If You Can Keep It, which from the title apparently makes a mockery out of what Benjamin Franklin is said to have replied to a woman who asked him what kind of government we had in 1787. A republic, madam, if you can keep it. Anne's boy Neil, of course, has erased the madam part. There's only a woman. So, here's the thing. Credit where credit's due. Both of them disclose these monies on their federally mandated disclosure forms. You know, unlike Fappy, who didn't disclose his real estate holdings, the profits from his real estate, remember? Ginger LLC Partners Limited, N.A., whatever. The operative word is ginger. But they both reported. That's not okay, though, because in both instances, they remained on the bench and considered cases directly dealing with Random House Penguin as parties to litigation. Two cases have come before the Supreme Court involving Penguin Random House. They were copyright infringement cases. And Penguin Random House had won at the lower court level. I presume the appellate court level. And so when the court declined to take up the appeal, that effectively allowed Penguin Random House to win. The people who were writing the checks to Sotomayor and Gorsuch. That certainly does create the appearance of impropriety, doesn't it? It may have been de facto improper. Because when they voted, when the court voted not to hear the case, that benefited the people who were writing the checks to Justices Sotomayor and Gorsuch. So, there's a difference in this insofar as they at least disclosed. FAPFAP never disclosed any of this, except, of course, for the $5,000 that he got for his grandnephew from the his RV club buddy who ran a pest control corporation in Florida. And the other thing we do not know from this news report is which way the two justices voted on whether to accept the appeal. And that matters. If Sotomayor voted to deny the petition and Gorsuch voted to deny the petition, that's going to look really bad. It looks like it creates the appearance that they were acting on behalf of their own financial interests. So there's a legal term called self-dealing. And you can make an argument that maybe they were afraid that they would lose their sweet, 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 sweet publishing gig if they had voted to allow the case to go forward against the people, the corporation that was writing their sweet, 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 sweet checks. I think if Sotomayor and or Gorsuch actually voted to accept the appeal, it takes a little bit of the tarnish off. But in the final analysis, the problem here is that there was no way, there is no way to compel, to externally compel a Supreme Court justice to behave in an ethical fashion. It is, as we discussed in yesterday's program, kind of the honor system. And the honor system does not work when people are not honorable. So in sum, says Flavio, there's not a single member of that court who is not crooked as a dog's hind legs. Am I right? I don't think you're right, Flavio. There are profound arguments to be made about Brat and Fappy and Gorsuch. And, the handmaid certainly was a member of a weird-ass cult. People of Praise, whose founders were apparently pretty kinky. Kinky is not illegal yet. But again, and go back to fat dead Tony Scalia, who went duck hunting with Count Dickula, you know, Richard B. Dick Cheney before he dicks you. When Cheney had a case before the court. And God knows the Bush administration had oodles of cases. Presidential administrations almost always do. I don't see anything about Elena Kagan. I haven't seen anything about Ketanji Brown Jackson. Of course, we know old Balls and Strikes' wife was making about $10 million off of a recruiting firm. That dealt with law firms that had business, lots of business before the court. So, it seems abundantly clear to me that the court does need to be reformed. The court needs a code of ethics that can be externally enforced. And, of course, the argument against that is, well, then they're not supreme if they have to answer to somebody besides God. And I'm sure there's some naive soul out there bloviating into a TV camera right now. Well, impeachment is a form of accountability. Oh, I know. I just set up a straw man and beat the tar out of it. But impeachment, the way it is expressed in the Constitution, is no threat at all. And in many ways, Nitwit Nero exposed it for the paper tiger that it is. Does that mean we should not, in particular, FAPI should not be impeached? No. Now, given the fantastic work being done by ProPublica, at some point, those intrepid ink-stained wretches, or I don't know, pixelated wretches, will eventually find out who paid the tab for all of Brat's debts. Yeah, he owns that house in Montgomery County, Maryland, where an assassin tried to kill him while his wife and children were in the house. Except for the fact that he didn't. Once again, he never got anywhere near the house. Once again, he turned himself in when he realized that he was in a really bad place in his mind. But that'll suffice. At least for Republican purposes. So, watch this space. We'll have more. There will probably be more Supreme Court dirt by the time Moran Monday rolls around. And I did mention testicle toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson. Well, we now know who his fill-in, well, it's not a fill-in, his temporary replacement will be. Didn't work out too well with Brian Kilmeade. He just didn't have quite the same white supremacist je ne sais white about him. In the second week after Tuckio Rose's departure, Lawrence Jones, the host of a weekend program called Cross Country, filled the white nationalism seat. But next week it will be Kaylee McEnany. The woman who made a business out of telling lies for the benefit of Nitwit Nero. We used to refer to Kaylee McEnany as Reichsbarbie because it fits. But anyway, back to testicle toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson. Lauren Bobblehead Boobert has run to his defense because of a clip that you're about to hear. The first one, it becomes abundantly obvious that Tuckio Rose is just a gross little perv. And you would think that someone who has been broadcasting as long as Tuckio Rose has would know to keep it innocuous when he's waiting to go on air. Yeah, how about them Yankees, or how about them Red Sox, or whatever. No. So he was talking with Piers Morgan, and the conversation turned to sexual technique.
Everyone in this company is thrilled that you're doing this. I've gotten more calls from people about it.
Oh, that's great. Well, I got to say, when I came to New York a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't believe how welcoming and friendly everybody was. It was fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah, they really mean it from the owners on down.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool to see it. I like that. It's a good, you know, people are nice in this company, I think. They've always been nice to me anyway.
I completely agree. Everyone's been very, very friendly and very nice, and I really appreciate it. But thank you so much for coming on.
I bet that doesn't change. Of course.
Yeah, it's just great to have you on my show. I mean, I've been on yours enough times. It's great.
I think it's totally cool. So let's, if we're going to talk about sex, I'd love to hit some of the fine points of technique. But, you know, but it's your show. It's totally up to you.
We can certainly talk about your sexual technique, especially after your tanning testicles last week.
Not mine. We'll speak in more general terms, but I've got something to add.
Which is hilarious because this is all on video. He's appearing on Piers Morgan's show. And when he says, not mine, we'll talk in more general terms, then a big, hunky, beefy, burly crew guy comes over and picks him up bodily and moves his chair, curiously enough, to Tucker Carlson's left. Sexual technique. God, he's gross. But this is weirder. You might want to get the hockey puck and the duct tape for this one. I know, Ralph's. What? Not mine? No, he wants to hear about Piers' sexual techniques. He's trying to pick up some pointers. And then there's the conversation this next one. Here, let's just finish that first clip real quick. Yeah, okay. We got all the laughter. And then this, where he mocks his audience, particularly Marvelline, you know, of Emery and Marvelline sitting in their matching Barca loungers at the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Park and Country Club. Yeah, Marvelline.
You wouldn't? Okay. I'm not, you know what? I'm not qualified on that score, I will say. I thought his girlfriend was kind of yummy. Just kidding, in case this is being pulled off the bird. Yeah, the bird. Hey, media matters for America. Go fuck yourself. That's the first thing I want to say tonight. Second thing is, totally kidding, I don't even know what his girlfriend looks like. And if I did, I would not find her yummy.
Yummy. Someone's girlfriend. Somebody's off camera. You wouldn't? Okay, I'm not, you know, I'm not. I will say I thought his girlfriend was kind of yummy. And yes, the bird is the satellite this is going up to. And yes, Media Matters did obtain these videos. And Fox News TV Radio Rwanda is desperately suing to try to keep this from going public. And that is why we are running the audio. And then this.
Well, I feel great. You know, I can never assess my appearance. I wait for my postmenopausal fans to weigh in on that. My FB. What? They want to control me from afar? Okay, I'm putting the leash on. You can. Fuck it, we'll do it live. I got you, baby.
During that exchange, a woman, a hairstylist, comes over and begins messing with Tucky O'Rose's hair. at which point he screams, fuck it, we'll do it live. Of course, that's a back reference to Falafel Man Bill O'Reilly. Yeah, you know, if you were here right now, I'd get in the shower, nice bottle and glass of white wine, and I'd rub you down with falafel. Remember that? Yeah. He got frustrated on the set of something before Fox. I forget what the name of the program was. And to play us out? What does that even mean? Fuck it. We'll do it live. Did you catch that? I can never assess my appearance. I wait for my postmenopausal fans to weigh in on that. I assume he's still married to the mother of his children. Her life must be a real blast. You'd need a hazmat suit to go wandering around inside the spider-laden corners of his psyche. Ugh, so gross. But anyway, Lauren Bobblehead Boebert jumped to Tuckio Rose's defense. Over another leaked clip in which he engages in what can only be described as sexual harassment. The makeup artist has her compact and the little towel is around his neck and she's putting his makeup on. It appears to be a powder foundation. Just to even out his skin tone, you know, maybe blur the pores a little bit. And he begins querying his makeup artist. And by the way, Matt in San Francisco says, fucker Carlson, he's an example of the dangers of allowing the hired help to raise your children. I wonder how many women have thrown up for just being in his proximity. It would have to be a substantial number, Matt. He's a walking case of fetch the Pepto Bismol. So Tuckio Rose decides he wants to ask some questions of his makeup artist. And the thing is, all these videos, all this banter goes to the heart of the other lawsuit. No, not Smartmatic, the other lawsuit. The senior booking producer who bailed and said it's a misogynistic, homophobic, transphobic, racist shit show on his set. And, well, here we are.
Can I ask you a question? You don't have to answer. It's personal. I'm not speaking of you, but more in general of ladies. When they go to the ladies' room and powder their noses, is there actually nose powdering going on?
Sometimes.
Ooh. I like the sound of that.
Most of the time it's lipstick.
Do pillow fights ever break out? You don't have to.
Not in the bathroom.
Okay, not in the bathroom. Okay. That'd be more a dorm activity. Okay.
That dumb shit. Now, she has just taken the powder brush over his forehead, and he immediately puts his hand over his forehead and brushes his hair back. And this is a broadcast professional. He wants to know what goes on in the ladies' room. Why? I mean, who asks that? You know, this kind of tells me that maybe if somebody gets real creative and gets a look at his browser history, you're going to find some probably tranny porn. Sorry about the word, but that's what they call it. I apologize for the usage. That's just, I mean, I the first time I heard this clip, I had a full body cringe. Peeing, Tucker, peeing takes place in the ladies' room. Hygiene takes place in the ladies' room. And yes, some noses get powdered, but as the makeup artist said, mostly it's lipstick. But why? That is a sure sign that we've got a porn guy going here. Because that's just thematically an indication of what a perv he is. And again, what a shithole working on his set was. That poor woman. I remember, in another life, I remember getting my makeup done at MSNBC. Trust me, no one was sitting in the makeup room asking what happened goes on in the ladies' room. I remember the makeup artist asking me what kind of shampoo I used because my hair was so bright and white and shiny. Well, that purple stuff. Well, that stuff's great. You have great skin. Thank you. That poor woman, A, works for Fox. And you know, the weird thing is, apparently Fox pays good money. Because people have to sell their souls to go there. God bless America. But it gets worse. It gets worse. Are there pillow fights?
This is naughty Brazilian territory.
I'm sorry. So you are such a good sport, such a good person. Thank you. I know you do, but you do not deserve that, and I mean it with great affection.
I got you, man. Which way do you want to go?
Yes, ma'am. Sorry. Let me tune in.
You're a good sport. Yeah. A good sport. Can't wait for the jury to see these things. If there are any women on the jury, pretty sure there'll be some full body cringing going on there too. But as I pointed out, Lauren Bobblehead Boebert jumped out there to defend him. Yeah, and of course, Leon Scum's platform. She said that it's of course, the liberals! The libs are trying to shame Tucker Carlson for asking what goes on in the women's bathroom. It's pretty gross, Lore. If he were a leftist man, he'd just throw on a skirt and waltz right in to peek under the stalls and find out for himself. God, why'd you give up on the lightning bolt business? Of course, immediately someone had a perfect response to her. Or if he were your husband, he'd just whip it out in a bowling alley to show minors. Good God. Yeah. I know, Matt. The ladies' room. What is it about these freaks about the godforsaken toilet? You either need to see a professional about the trauma you suffered as a child and work through it, or grow the fuck up. I mean, most boys outgrow the fascination with their pee-pee at what? 3, 4? I know. Yeah. Just any clues, Matt? Any at all? Because I got nothing. But it's absolutely true. They are grossly fascinated with what people do in the restroom. Maybe they were potty trained at gunpoint, Matt. I got nothing. By the way, going back to the Supreme Court, and I have over-filler-obstered my apologies. But going back to the Supreme Court issue... couple of pieces of correspondence. And let me get... Yeah, here we go. A couple of pieces of correspondence. Darlene in Connecticut writing in. Oh my God, wow. Sonia and her buddy Neil, because they're buds per Sonia, actually heard cases concerning Random House. I told you, they're all doing it. I mean, it's sick that we're reduced to, well, at least they reported it. Regardless of just how neutral they might be or think they will be, they should have recused themselves. I'm disappointed in Sonia, but not surprised. Like I said, this is tradition, or as you said, pattern and practice. Same damn difference. Don't forget, they all signed that recent letter to Congress where Roberts refused Durbin's invite. I thought, well, maybe Roberts walked the halls and bartered with the ladies. And the ladies, to maintain some semblance of power with all the SCOTUS dicks and one dickette, agreed to sign that letter, and that's why Mifepristone is still on the market for now. Think about how Sam pitched a hissy about the shadow docket on that one. He always targets Elena Kagan, and she just smiles back. God love you. But I'm beginning to question that idea now. Did I say I told you? I know. Flavio, all 9 Supreme Court justices do it, and sends a... Okay, we may have... I have to do an update to Skype, so I may be disconnected. I don't know what in the hell is going on here. My apologies. What a pain in the butt. Okay, yeah. Would you please be so kind as to reconnect? Because I had to do that stupid update. Oh, okay. Roger says I'm coming through on Skype there, so maybe it's better than I hoped. I have no idea. All 9 of them, Flavio says, 9 Supreme Court justices push back oversight raises from ABC News. So the story is about all nine justices not wanting an ethics code. Well, you know, we've got a capitalist political system, and apparently, yes, of course, a capitalist judicial system. And, yeah, I mentioned the duck hunting trip. Matt sent along a clarification. 7 dozen trips. 7 dozen. That's like over 80 hunting trips. Apparently he would accept them from people he didn't even know, show up for the hunting trip, and some individuals with interest before the court just happened to be on the same hunting trip. He went on this frickin' hunting trip so often he even kicked a bucket while at some hunting lodge. Truth. For fuck's sake. I get the idea that appearance of impropriety means something different to you and I, you and me, than it does to they and them. And Theo, Tuckums, the testicle toasting. I'm waiting eagerly for the day when it's legally safe to make a film video parody history of Fox News. It's got to happen while the brilliant Tim Matheson is around to play Tuckums and Nathan Lane can superbly portray Sean Insanity. He's in fact been approached, according to a reliable account. As far as Rupee, it's got to be CGI. No human being, however many prosthetics they slathered in, could convincingly be as nasty as the original Vulgarian from Oz. Oh, that's quality. Very much so. And, by the way, Jack in Shreveport wrote, "Your Opus Dei topic led me to recall an article that appeared in my local newspaper sometime in the last year or two. Catholicism's big in Louisiana, and this article had it in its title the term the Red Mass and described some activity going on locally in my area. I think I had heard the term before but knew nothing about it. What I learned was that it was a gathering of Catholics that would appear in their red robes and that each and every one of them were also lawyers. That was the only information of any real use in the article. To me, in the context of our country's Supreme Court, this Red Mass was just a huge, emphatic ritual celebrating, at least for them, the mixing of their religion and our legal system and Constitution, a destruction of the wall between church and state." You're right. And it is an annual event. I was invited to one once upon a time. Made me feel kind of gross. So I didn't go. Supposedly, it was ecumenical. I don't think it was ecumenical enough. And I don't think you can have an ecumenical theocracy, which is what they want. Ralph says, "So are the nine Supreme scared shitless of Sheldon Whitehouse's ethics bill?" Probably not, because there aren't 60 votes in the Senate for it, and it would just wither and die in the House unless we do something about it in 2024. Like get the House back in Democratic hands and dare to dream, get 60 votes in the Senate. Not bloody likely, considering what the makeup of the court is, or the court, what the makeup of the Senate map is in 2024. Because Democrats have to defend 23 seats, and maggots only have to defend 10. So we'd have to keep all of ours and win all 10 of theirs in order to have a 60-vote majority. Depressing, isn't it? Well, here we are, nearly halfway through the program. I'm sorry the Phil Robster ran so long, and I'm sorry about the interruption to the program earlier. We got $640 to raise, and it would be great if we could do that, because I've staved off disaster with the phone company for another day. It won't pass tomorrow, and so we won't have a phone pass tomorrow, and we won't have the stress line come Monday or any day thereafter until that gets dealt with. And there's Appalachian Power. So I don't know if we can do anything, but if we can, it would be fan-freaking-tastic. Now, away we go to the old holler tree. You there, Sparky?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yay, good. I don't know how I'm connected, but I am. I'm just grateful.
You're here. That's all I know.
Yeah, I think it's because the other app stayed open. They used to have a Skype iPad app, and apparently now I have to run solely on the Skype app. I have no idea what the hell's going on.
Well, if you're using the iPad, I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
I'm an old Windows guy.
I am for the most part, but the iPad makes things a little bit simpler in terms of sourcing.
I think my newest computer was bought in 2015.
Wow.
The one I'm using right now.
That's wild. Oh, were you just doing some house cleaning earlier today? I saw that, like, what, three people got, what, did you just clean them out from the previous Friday?
Yeah, let them join again on their own. They usually don't answer when they ring.
Oh, I see. I don't know how any of that works.
Well, I can explain it to you.
Not right now. It's that's night baseball deep in the technical weeds. I like that though. Jeremy said, okay. "Don't lie about being an old Windows guy. We all know you're an old electric guy." Well played, Jeremy.
I got to do some electrical work the other day.
Did you really?
Yes. My neighbor, the one who's gave me water for over a year and a half.
Yeah.
She was working up in Redding. And she called me up and said, because her granddaughter lives with her. And she says, there's no water in the house. Can you go over and check out my well? And I said, sure I can. I said, just have her open the gate for me so I can go back and I'll bring my meter over and I'll do some checking. And anyway, I get to the pressure switch, pull the cover off, and I stick my meter on there, and the voltage is not going through to the pump. So I mess with the pressure switch, and all of a sudden one of the contacts starts to arcing and sparking. And I got it to start and run and fill up with water. Then I knew it was the contact is so burnt, it just keeps doing that. And it'll keep burning it off that with that arc. So I called her up and told her, I says, I got another pressure switch somewhere. I'll replace it for you. So I did my good deed for the week.
Got the
pressure switch.
Attaboy.
And put it on and got her up running. It involves taking off four wires, you know, and turning the circuit breaker off.
Yeah, but by the same token, it would have cost her a fortune.
Probably around $200 maybe or more.
Yeah, so
to have a guy come out. Just guessing. Anyway, I got something else to share with you.
Yeah?
When we were talking about the Rush Limbaugh pineapples and everything, the other day I was out by the fan palms that we have in the Memorial Garden out here that grew on their own.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, there was a plant out there that died because of the drought, and I wasn't watering it last year because I was saving water and all that. So I was trying to pull that plant out. It basically got a big root on it. It had a chain on it, and I tried to get it off out with the lawnmower the other day, and I just spun the wheel. So anyway, I was there pulling on the rope, and I started to slip, and my hand went on that fan palm thing, the shark teeth.
Yeah.
One finger got bit really good.
Ooh, that hurts.
And it's like a bee sting or something for days. It just, like, it puts some kind of shit in you, and it's kind of toxic. It makes it burn like hell.
That does not sound fun. I don't even know if
you seen the picture, right?
Yeah, but I don't even know if Benadryl would help that.
No, but it's the pain's gone now. Plus I got a delivery yesterday, so I'm in no pain today.
Oh, by the way, Lee in New York has awarded you a cowbell. Here's the real cowbell. You get a cowbell. Lee noting, Sparky was the guy that was called. He did right by his neighbor. Yeah. And
speaking of bells.
Yes.
That's the other thing I got for you.
Yeah.
My wife was a Coca-Cola collectible freak.
Oh, yeah. She loved her Coke stuff.
She had this little bell.
Oh, how darling.
It's a glass bell, and it says drink Coca-Cola on it, 5 cents.
Aw. That's just a really pretty sound.
I'll keep it on Fridays whenever you say ring the little bell, I'll ring it.
Okay, great. We've got a new prop.
If I'm in the room.
Right, yes. And by the way, Matt in San Francisco said, don't sell yourself short, Sparky. Good, reliable electrical work is priceless. And I concur with Matt.
Well, I used to do it.
And part of my weekend is going to be spent having fun with water heaters. The old one's got to go out, and the new one's got to go in. And
it's an electric water heater.
Yeah, it's an electric water heater. So I think I'm going to go, that's another one of those fundraising things, too. I'm going to go, and I think I'm going to put new breakers in, too, because those have been there forever and ever and ever. And they got to work out when the water heater was dying.
The circuit breakers?
Yeah.
How old are they?
Let's see. You're going to make me cipher. At least 16 years.
You know the brand?
Offhand, no.
Oh.
But I'll know that when I have.
Well,
go ahead.
You're going to have to take one out and take it with you when you go to the store then.
Right. It's the two that are piggybacked together. And I think they're both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it a quad?
It's two breakers.
Right. It's just the two handles tied together. There's not four handles.
Right. No, it's two.
Okay. Because they make a thing called the quad breaker.
Yeah, this one, what we have on the breaker box will handle it, and probably more than some. But I got to get a garden hose, and I got to drain the old tank, and
I know.
It's not going to be fun. And when we put it in, this was a large family water heater, so it's It's almost as tall as me, and probably...
Is it over 40 gallons?
Oh, hell yes. Like 80.
Do you really need that much now?
No, and we don't and what's going in is not nearly that big, but getting this one out is going to be a booger.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because even empty, that thing is a beast.
You don't have a hand truck?
Yeah, got one, but it's a matter of... It's got to come out through the studio, and this is a very crowded, cramped studio. Because it's got to go out the back door.
Okay. I'm trying to give you suggestions.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we've got a hand truck. And then, you know, the wiring on the new one is pretty straightforward. Red wire, black wire.
Yes, there's just nothing to a water heater.
That's very reassuring, Sparky. Thank you. I would like not to become
All we got to do is connect the ground and hook the two wires up. Because you're sending 220
in. Yeah, I see the ground wire here, but, you know, that would be the green one, right?
Correct.
And it looks like it loops back in on itself. I don't know if that was just for transport or what.
Loops like it's back in. Is it wrapped around a screw?
Yes.
Well, that's what it's doing.
Okay, so it's grounded.
Yes.
Okay.
It has to loop around the screw, so when the screw tightens, it gets tightened on the wire. It's, you know, it's turning the screw to the right.
Yeah. So it has to
loop around the screw to the right, not the left.
Okay. I may call you over the weekend.
You don't have my number, do you?
Skype. I'll message you and. Do I have your number?
I can send it to you in Skype and a DM.
DM it to me, please, and I'll put you in the phone.
Okay.
It would be great not to burn down this almost 100-year-old house.
Just don't worry about it. I'll walk you through it if you have to.
Okay. I'm hoping to get to it Sunday. I gotta get a garden hose and the new breakers and a couple of wire nuts on Sunday or maybe Saturday.
Okay. I'll be sitting here watching the NASCAR race.
Okay, sounds good. And did you ever talk about having an old growth cedar on your property? Or was that the redwood? Jude was just asking me a question.
I have two redwood trees and a big old fir tree.
Okay. Jude was wondering. She thought she remembered it being an old growth. No, it's not one, but two redwood trees.
Oh, I have a 100-year oak tree.
Okay.
On the property line.
Yeah, I think
it
maybe.
Looks like
I think
it might fall down here. Or part of it will fall off a limb. My neighbor said she heard a limb crack the other day.
Not within reaching distance of the house, though, hopefully.
Oh, hell no. It's on the back property line.
Okay.
It's like a football field away.
Nice.
You know, I live on 2 acres almost.
Right, yeah. You're about twice the size of me. We got one happy little acre here. And at some point in time, I got to get a chainsaw because a bunch of those trash maples have come up. You know, they come up from the root, and you can cut them, so... Going to take all of them out.
That ego chainsaw I got really like it.
Well, that's what I'm going to go with. Lighter.
If you get one of the power tools and you get the batteries, then you can get the other power tools because you only can use one tool at a time. You don't need to have a battery with each one.
Yeah. We've got the lawnmower. We had the weed eater and going to have the chainsaw at some point. Now, Jeremy just called us land braggers. I'm on a quarter of an acre at best, says Jeremy. And Jude said, "Ooh, an old oak tree."
Yeah, it's been there. I don't know. The ranch has been there behind us for over a hundred years. I don't know when they strung the barbed wire fencing, but the oak tree grew up right in the barbed wire fence, and the barbed wire fence goes right through the base of the oak tree. And the base of the oak tree is, at least, I would say 15 feet around or more.
Oh, wow, that's huge.
It is huge. These valley oaks get really huge. There was one down in Chico, famous one that they figured was 500 years old, and it finally, I think lightning hit it and split it or something. It fell down.
That's a pity.
And they drop acorns like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, I can imagine.
And then the blue jays pick up the acorns and they plant them all over the yard, and you find little oak trees growing everywhere.
The miracle of life.
That's how those palm trees got in my yard, I think. It's from the blue jays. Stealing seeds from across the street on the ones across the street and putting them in my yard.
Yeah, I'm not sure what kind of maples these are, but they're just a nuisance. And they got to come down. I know. Randy Radar says, call the guy about the water heater because 220 volts can kill you. It's 240 actually, right, Sparky?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, just checking. Yeah, I know, but I know how to turn off the main. So hopefully I don't get zapped.
Yeah, but you just turn off the breaker to the water heater and the water heater's dead.
Right, yeah.
You don't have to kill the main.
But I will if I want to. No, okay. I got it. Sorry. Thank you. See, you're already serving a purpose.
If you're changing circuit breakers, do kill the main breaker.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I can put the new breakers on the new wiring, kill the main, take the old breakers out, put the new breakers in. Good.
My only question is, how do you know the old breakers are bad?
I think it's probably just good practice, given their age. And the fact of the matter is, we were having to use the breakers to turn the water heater on and off because of the way it was leaking. It got so bad that it was leaking like 5 gallons. It was dripping 5 gallons about every 3 hours.
Okay.
And every now and then when I'd flip the breaker on or off, I'd see a little, little flash.
Inside the breaker?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I would say replace it.
The joys of home ownership, you know? Oh, and I need to say thank you.
Oh, I know all about it. I don't even have circuit breakers on my house. I still have fuse box.
Oh, my God. Yeah, fuse box with a penny behind the fuse. Yeah, great.
No. Regular fuses.
Yeah.
They still work.
And you can still, yeah, you can still find fuses, I guess. I need to send out some big. I need to send out some thank you. Thank you, Trevor in Washington. Thank you so much. Trevor got us started this evening, so we are now down to $615 to go. Ralph's just put forward a $25 for the heck of it challenge. I prefer to think of it as $25 let's have a stress line come Monday challenge. Thank you, Ralph. So the next $25 in gets doubled. Thank you, Trevor, for getting us started. Oh, how gross. John in Central PA said the Writers Guild strike. Did you see that the NYPD broke a picket line today to let a scab through? Why are they part of the AFL-CIO again? Fucking bullshit. Why does anybody think that? Why do cops need a union? There's nobody more pro-labor than me, but the cops union, more often than not, is just a means of covering for bad cops, as far as I'm concerned. Thanks, John. So if Ralph's challenge is met, we will get down to 500 and. Let's see. 565. It would be great if that happened.
Did your water heater die before the fittings broke on top of it?
Yes. The fitting?
That's a saving grace.
Yes, yes. Hi, Jeremy.
This fall, I was getting ready to go to bed. I laid down. My water heater's in my bedroom behind the closet behind the wall. And I'm listening, and I hear water running.
Oh, no.
I can't figure out what it is. It's a hissing noise. And I'm like, that sounds like a water heater. And I opened up my closet. The closet was steamy hot. I pulled off the false wall, and it was a fucking geyser shooting up to the top of my ceiling.
Oh, delightful.
This happened at like 11:30 at night. And then some of the guys I talked to know I went without a water heater for like 4 or 5 days in October. That's fun. I was able to still use the hot water in the tank for a couple days, but by day 3 or 4, it wasn't quite as nice to use.
Well, we've been hot water less, so, you know, babies have to have baths and things, so there's been a lot of water boiling going on and tempering it into the bathtub. And
you should just call up Ron DeSantis. He would help you out with the cold water baths.
Jeremy.
True. Knows all about them.
Yes. That's another full body cringe. Thank you.
I meant Guantanamo. I didn't mean you personally.
No, but you know, but the thing is, if you accept a cold water bath from Ron Monkey up to Clantis, you also wind up getting a, you know, forced feeding along with it.
But just remember, like Biden said last weekend, when he first took office, he was asked if he had a mandate, and he said, hell no, I'm not gay.
I heard that one. That was from the nerd prom last week, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
So, Matt, well, maybe other, okay. A little simple, I'm afraid. Thank you to Roger. Roger just jumped in and met Ralph's challenge, so yay verily, we were down to 565, which means that slowly but surely moving toward getting the damn phone bill paid. This is just—it's just exhausting. But thank you, Roger. Thank you, Roger and Trevor. Thank you, Ralphs. And we'll hopefully make make at least a substantial dent in it.
I got paid. Count me in for 20.
Oh, thank you, Jeremy. So, 545. Thank you, Jeremy. You're awesome.
Sure.
Who else is in the room? That's what I was getting at. Everybody's real, pretty quiet.
Ken? Is it there? Christopher's in there. Roger's in
happy,
there.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Hey, Christopher.
How are you?
Good, good, good.
I got a little bit of food porn.
Yeah?
I did a try. I had some leftover tenderloin of pork in
Pretty.
The freezer. Did a trifold. Marinated it for...
Did you do the trifold?
Yeah, on the Traeger.
How'd it come out?
It came out juicy as all get out. And it's real, real tasty. And I gave some to the dog, and then I gave some to myself, and it's fabulous.
What did you stuff it with?
You know what? I didn't even stuff it. I laid it out flat, and I marinated it with the al pastor marinade.
Oh, yummy.
For 2 days.
That'd be special.
And instead of orange juice, I used apple juice because I didn't have any orange juice.
Apple juice is always a good choice with pork.
Right? And it turned out incredible.
But the next time you do it, try it with slice an onion really, really thin, a sweet onion, and some thin sliced apples and, you know, maybe some buffalo mozzarella. And put that in the layers of the trifold and wrap it back together. And then do like a butcher's knot down the length of it to keep it all held together. Put the smoke to it.
You know what I did? You know what I did? I did it barbacoa style. I wrapped it in banana leaves. I went over to the little Filipino market.
That's next level.
Right? And that just really kept all the juices in. The banana added some extra flavor, banana leaf, and... Yeah, it's a great way to do it.
Yeah, when I was in my experimental phase with those, I never had one come out bad. I love the one with pineapple and jalapenos, and that crumbly Mexican cheese, whatever that's called.
Yeah, it starts with a Q.
Queso?
Yes. Anybody know? Yes. Well. It's I don't know. It's got an X in there, too. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and...
I'm lucky I have a little Mexican store and a little Filipino store that aren't too far from each other, so it's great.
Oh, there's one. Yeah. That just sounds so fun.
Right? So, yeah, that'll keep me busy for a couple of days easily. That's about all I got going on. Inga is still amongst the living.
Oh, amazingly. I'm so glad. I was about to ask.
She's day-to-day. Every day I just kind of peer down at her and say, is today the day? And she just wants to have breakfast. So we just go day-to-day. That's it. That's all we can do. Every one of us is day-to-day, right?
Profoundly true. Profoundly true, Christopher.
Yeah, that's about all I got. I mean, same old shit, you know, watching this crazy stuff and Democrats bringing the butter knife to the bazooka battle.
Hang on, wait a minute. Every single time. I wish that
every
didn't earn a cowbell, but it does.
Time. It's so disheartening to watch this shit with DeFi and, Durbin won't. Lay out the. Can you explain again the blue card deal with the justices? Do you understand this thing?
Yeah. Are you talking about with nominees?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any individual senator can blue card basically a judicial nominee, and everything grinds to a halt.
Now, wasn't it Moscow Mitch? Did he, like, somehow blockade the blue cards or just ignored the blue cards or what? What was the deal with
that? It's more custom than codified law.
And Democrats, of course, we have to stick to all the customs.
Tradition.
And norms and the,
yeah.
Yeah. Right? And what do the Republicans do? Fuck it. Burn it down.
We got shit. You know, we got ugly shit to do here. It's like there was a meme that went around, kind of a video meme that went around a few months ago. It showed some, you know, pretty goofy looking dog. And the song that went with, I'm going to do some sketchy shit, doo-dah, doo-dah, hope I get away with it, oh, doo-dah day.
And even if they get caught, it's like 100 lashes with a wet noodle and move along.
Yeah, I just saw a thing from The Onion. Clarence Thomas offers to implement ethics code for the right price.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
It's depressing. The Di-Fi thing is depressing.
It's all depressing. And the clock keeps running. And before...
Oh, and by the way, Susan Rice is leaving the Biden administration. She's going to be replaced by Neera Tanden. Great.
Who's that?
Oh, don't you remember?
I didn't even know Susan Rice was around.
She's the one that Joe Manchin bullied out of the nomination for running OMB. But she's also a union buster. She's the one who busted the union at Think Progress.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, great.
I know.
It's so bad. Lesser two evils. That's the motto of our nation.
And I wonder where DiFi even is.
Yeah, no one knows.
Somewhere
maybe
in
I
California.
Can call my uncle. Maybe I can call my uncle and he could send a search party out in Noe Valley for her.
Well, I mean, her husband, you know, because I screwed up talking about this a couple of weeks ago and Darlene corrected me. Her husband died about a year ago. Do they have kids? I mean, is she in a nursing home somewhere? Does she even know where she is?
Somebody knows because she's got an aide.
Yeah, the senior staff probably knows, but...
Didn't she tweet today? It was the first tweet in like a really long time.
She said she's coming back like next week.
Oh, okay.
We shall see.
That's what I saw on Democratic Underground.
I guess it's possible that she could know how to tweet. I mean.
Well, then can we get these goddamn nominees moving again?
That would be nice.
Jesus Christ.
I'd like that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, we all would. We got to replace the maggots. Judiciary is a complete disaster. We all knew that on this program well before the 2016 election, right?
Yeah.
We saw that coming. And everybody else was like, oh, they wouldn't dare touch Roe versus Wade. They wouldn't dare. They wouldn't dare. Ugh. Unreal. Just fucking unreal. All of it. And Chevron, when is that? Did they already hear arguments on the one that's going to bring down Chevron?
I don't know.
I don't know the name of the case. Does anyone know?
No.
June's like the big month, right?
Yeah.
So that's when they're going to hear all these. Or... Did they already hear the cases?
They make decisions.
Yeah, so they're going to decide on all these cases. They've already heard the oral arguments. They've gotten the amicus briefs in, all that good stuff, right? So it's they hand out the decisions, right?
Yeah, they close out the session.
Yeah. the one that's going to destroy, then, obliterate Chevron.
Then in October,
Chevron.
They start a brand new session.
Okay. Well, get ready, because June's going to be a bloodbath.
It doesn't...
I don't think I'll bleed.
Oh, eventually, what? Yeah. Oh, and I need to interrupt just for a second, because things are dire. I just had a note from our anonymous, kind-hearted internet friend who said, I'd like to put forth a one-ringy-dingy $50 two-for-one tripling challenge. If somebody kicks in 25, I'll contribute 50. And so that'll get us down to under $500. That would be huge. Thank you, kind anonymous internet friend. So that's not a 2-for-1 tripler. Those are nice. So the first $25 that comes in gets tripled. Thank you. So is everybody I see in the list actually in the room? I'm showing you, Christopher, and Jeremy. I see Kevin and Billable Rick.
I'm here.
Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Billable is not in the room.
I sent Jude a link. But she's in the chat, huh? She's on the other chat. Is that right?
I don't know.
Let me look.
I don't think she knows there's like two different chats, right?
No, she is not in the other chat.
She's not in, yeah.
So does anybody want to take a run at just what in the hell's going on in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between Tucker Carlson's ears?
Nothing.
No, not really. I heard today something interesting a while ago.
Yeah?
8 of the fake electors in Georgia got immunity today.
So they've rolled on somebody.
That's good. That's really good news.
Georgia just passed a law eliminating all those prosecutor and judge jobs, but I think it takes effect next year.
You mean elected judges and prosecutors?
The one like Fanny, the one that's handling the case right now, her job would be gone in a year.
So it'll be strictly appointed by governor?
I believe so.
Oh, great.
Oh, the Republican Party.
Well, it's one and the same, right?
Sorry, hello?
Yeah, hey, is that you? Ken?
Go ahead.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you back. All right. I'm retarded. Forget it.
Okay. Hey, Jack in Shreveport just met our kind internet friend's anonymous tripling challenge. Thank you, Jack. Thank you so much. So that gets us down to what? 415. So another $115 we're done with yesterday. 415, and it's a true Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle, and we are done for the week. And not a moment too soon.
I've got a question regarding the donations that our Supreme Court justices have been receiving. Is any of that taxable?
It should be.
Oh, anything over $10,000 back when I was that's a billable Rick question.
It is.
My question is that particularly with the tuition donations that Clarence's second cousin, four times removed or some shit that he was raising as his own son, significant chunk of change. And it seemed to me that that should be a reportable donation to him. And I know it's up to the House, but it seems to me that the IRS commissioner should be able to look at his tax returns and make a determination on whether or not they were filed correctly to indicate these donations. And if he didn't report them on his income, how come his ass isn't swinging between the scales of justice by blind Lady Liberty?
Well, obviously, Roger, we don't have access to FAPI's returns. He may have reported it as income.
This is what I'm getting at. If he did, fine. He reported his income. He just didn't report it to the powers that be. But if he didn't report it as income, this should trigger an IRS audit and a court case for filing fraudulent tax returns.
So, Roger, explain to me the difference. The reporting, you're talking about disclosure by a Supreme Court justice to the public about gifts they've received versus actual tax filings. Two different things is what you're talking about, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Very separate different things.
And And the thing is, the disclosure forms are public.
Okay, got it.
And he was sort of required, but on an honor system, to do it on the disclosure forms. But when it comes to IRS, you don't have nearly as much personal leeway on what you report and what you don't report. And if it did not get reported on his taxes, and should have been, I don't know that it should have been, that this should open up an IRS audit and nail his ass on income tax evasion.
Well, see, but here's the loophole, Roger. It was for the benefit of his young ward. So if it's actually income, the argument would be, and again, I'm out of my depth on this. This is billable Rick stuff. But the income would be as to the young man.
And at what income level does the young man have to file income tax forms on their income, even if they are a minor? I'm asking questions I do not know the answer to. I'd make a lousy attorney.
This is all billable Rick stuff. Yeah.
It really is, but here's another wrinkle, though. FapFap and JinJin, and primarily FapFap, was the young man's guardian. Therefore, FapFap stood in a fiduciary relationship to the boy. And so he is bound legally.
But I believe it can happen. I just don't believe day one because of the transition of all that. Then also, you talk about how they finished.
What's that?
Second in Russian.
Yeah.
28th in passing.
Who's that?
Listen. Rezo, 30th.
There, can you mute?
I'm not going to tell him that the man can't do it. If he says he wants to do it,
can you mute that?
Go ahead and do it. But it's going to take some time to get going. But I believe once they get going, they're going to be firing on all
cylinders. Terrible.
That's like sports talk.
You move up to
who is that?
I thought it was interesting.
That
can?
It's
kind of interesting. And then you go and look at some of the teams and where they finished last year, how they
improved. Yeah, that's showing up as Sparky.
I think that is Sparky. Oh, there you go. Yeah, it is Sparky.
There's Steve. Soup.
I muted Sparky.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was helpful. But what I was saying is, FapFap has a fiduciary relationship to the guardian, to the guardee, so he would still be responsible for properly reporting, properly reporting the income. Or at least the funds, whether it's income or not, is a matter for the IRS. And again, I'm out of my depth.
I mean, he should have ensured that the minor child reported it on an income tax form, if in fact it was reportable as income. But, I mean, these are just the little things that me as a non-lawyer come up with,
sure,
going, somebody's dropping the fucking ball.
But we don't know what's being looked into. I hope somebody at DOJ is looking into the failure to file on the disclosure forms, because that's a slam damn dunk.
Yeah.
And it needs to be done before he files an amended declaration form from 2014 or when the hell ever, because that'll get him off the hook.
Well,
at least technically.
Yeah. Anyhow, that was just a...
you know, it just seems to me that these guys are just daring. They're saying, na-na-na-na-na-na, you can't touch
the
me.
Word you're looking for, I mean, Christopher, is brazen.
Yeah. Look what I can do. Come and get me. We are untouchable. You think the fucking mullahs in Iran are untouchable? Look at us. Get a load of us. Right? That's what it is.
Yeah, they're daring us to challenge them. They're daring the government to challenge them, because then they know that they will be able to bleat and bray and bark about how they're being persecuted by the corrupt Biden administration.
Well, that's what Sammy Bradbreath is doing. Oh, he's whining and crying like a little child. But he knows there's nothing we could fucking do about it.
Yeah, he's pogo stick. You know, Sammy Bradbreath has long since pogo sticked up onto the cross. They were trying all the assassination attempts. He was shit. That guy, that liberal lefty was squeezing off rounds at poor Brett Kavanaugh with his wife and children in the house. And since at a place like Fox News, it won't be gainsaid. You know, the people who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings will just believe it.
The only one shooting off rounds is fucking Dick Cheney and buckshot at his friend's fucking face.
Cowbell right there. Too good, Jeremy.
Okay, billable Rick. Sorry, folks, under the Internal Revenue Code, gifts are not considered to be taxable income, so Fappy wasn't required to report the amounts or value of the gifts that he received from his billionaire friend as income. On the other hand, a donor is required to file and report gifts on a gift tax return if the value of those gifts in a specific year exceeds a certain amount. So, for instance, in 2023, that number is $17,000. 2011 to 2012, however, was $13,000. And probably back when the young ward was going through the GI Love Money Academy with Headmaster J.P. Gottrocks. It was probably somewhere around $10,000.
And at $6,000 a month, that adds up pretty quick.
Yeah, no shit. Well, the whole gig, kit and caboodle, came to around $150,000, Roger. And so, by the way, on the one ringy dingy challenge got met. Another anonymous individual jumped in and got us down to 405. Thank you. Thank you so much. And the anonymous person knows who. Yeah.
I'm going to choir practice tomorrow. All right, we'll call in tomorrow.
Somebody's going to choir practice. That's Steve? That's Steve.
Steve's icon shows up when the noise is coming over.
Yeah.
Mute him and don't remove me this time.
Yeah. And Tom in sunny San Rafael has some knowledge. Taxes and gifts for Clarence, unfortunately, in general, gifts aren't taxable as income below a certain large amount. I don't remember the amount just now, but it's like $3 million or something like that. So the thing is, I get the IRS angle, but the real issue here is the disclosure, the federally legally mandated has criminal penalties with it disclosure that FAPI decided not to. That's the best chance of getting at him and finally holding him accountable for his manifest corruption is to prosecute his crooked ass.
Yeah, but Robin, do we have any? Come on, do we really think Merrick Garland's going to go there?
What if Jack Smith does?
Okay.
I mean, do you remember during the Great Cleanest Hunt how Ken Starr's brief kept getting expanded?
Yeah.
At first, it was just a cursory investigation into a failed bullshit land deal in Arkansas, and the next thing you know, we're talking about Monica Lewinsky's panties and stained blue dress and cigars used as phallic devices.
Maybe. Go ahead, Jeremy.
So far, Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, he got all those fuckers. Could we land with Merrick Garland just a little bit? I think he's been doing an okay job. You don't see what he's doing. He does a lot of work. He's got the whole fucking justice system to take care of, let alone these fucking morons.
I saw a story today. I briefly considered putting it in the stack. I decided not to. I was wrong. But I did see a story that said, you know, Jack Smith may be wrapping up his work and charges may be coming soon. Let it be Trump. Let it be Trump. Let it be Trump. But then again, I want the whole filthy lot to go. There's some sentencing news out of January 6th today. Another domestic terrorist has gone up the river. This dude was from Kentuckystan, Peter Schwartz. He had a rap sheet. He threw a chair at officers and hosed them down with pepper spray while he and the woman he was married to at the time stormed the Capitol. His pettifoggers wanted 4 years and 6 months, but instead U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta said, nah, this feels like 14 years to me. And described Schwartz as a soldier against democracy, said that he took part in the kind of mayhem chaos that had never been seen in the country's history, and then Judge Mehta lowered the boom. According to the Associated Press, he said, you are not a political prisoner. You're not somebody who's standing up against injustice or fighting against an autocratic regime. And before he was sentenced, Schwartz said, I do sincerely regret the damage that January 6th has caused to so many people in their lives. That may have run it up to 14. What does that even mean? There's several different ways to read that. That the inauguration of Joe Biden, the fact that they were not able to overturn the election, caused damage to people, to so many people's lives. You know, that's a classic Republican non-apology, as
the fact that Donnie didn't pardon them all.
Yeah, there's that.
They all assumed he was going to. Right.
Yeah.
They assumed that was a given.
Oh, and by the way, here's another
fun... Because he pardoned everybody else.
Here's another funsy. Guess who's retweeting Robert F. Kennedy Jr. now?
Oh, fuck.
John in Central PA pointed this out to me. Yeah, Roger Stone. Roger fucking Stone.
God.
Yeah.
So, you know, yay.
Man, Roger Stone needs to roll doubles three straight times on the Monopoly board again.
Yeah, he needs double sixes on the backgammon board. Several of them.
Directly. Go directly. Do not collect $200. Do not collect your pardon from Donnie.
RFK is really sad.
Yeah. Well,
RFK is really sad.
It is. That whole thing's horrible.
He needs help. And nobody is around to help him. Or maybe he's been a grifter all along. I don't know. That might be more of a possibility, right?
Well, we sure as shit got used down here.
On this show, we've talked about so many people have been sucked through the right wing fascist vortex. Bill Maher, what's his name? Elon. And who's the reporter at the papers or whatever it was?
Glenn Greenwald or something.
Well, him is another great name, but the other guy that what the fuck is his name? We've talked about him a lot.
Matt Taibbi.
Yes, him. He was one of the good ones, real good ones.
I know.
He went to the dark side.
But see, the dark side pays better and has cookies.
Yes.
I like
he was probably the lowest paid journalist in American history. Hey, John.
How y'all doing?
John Britovo, how in the heck are you?
I'm doing fine, Robin. How are you, baby?
John Britovo.
You know, muddling along. Had a beautiful day today. Got to get out in the sunshine a little bit. Got up to about 68 degrees. It was pretty.
68 degrees? I'm going to pray for you. Don't worry. It'll get better.
Oh, John.
I think we had 92 today, babe.
We had winter part two. The misadventure continues for the last 2 weeks. Three, maybe.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, John.
Where's Procious? Procious, West Virginia.
Procious? Oh. Yeah. Trying to remember. Clay County? I've been through Procious.
I don't know.
Why for you ask?
Why? Because I got mail yesterday in my mailbox.
From Procious?
I got a wonderful t-shirt from a couple in West Virginia, and it says, somebody in West Virginia loves you, and it's got a heart there, and then it's got two blue dots inside the heart.
Aw.
Really, really, really nice.
It is, it's in the northwest, it's in the west northwest corner of Clay County. Clay County is right next to me. And
it's from Evelyn Hopkins.
Well,
howdy,
neighbors.
Since I pulled up their card to find remember their name because I can't remember shit, I just remembered what they wrote. Can I read this?
Please
do.
It's
pretty neat, I thought. It's poetic. It says, a blue dot thought. Some states are red and some states are blue. In West Virginia, we blue dots are few. The Blue Dot family continues to fight to fix this mess and make things right. So let's make a toast and raise our glass and tell the Trump tards to kiss our ass. Yeah, I thought that was rather cute.
That's well done.
That is well done.
And cowbell worthy.
Yes.
There you go.
I don't think.
Me up last night, that part in there about raise a glass. Well, when somebody says that.
You
well, then I have a bottle of brandy right here that I reach over and pour me a little brandy, and boom, there it goes. But for those that were in the audience prior to the show starting, because I've had a lot of pain in my shoulder,
They heard me. They didn't see me, but they heard me get my shot glass out and say something about, well, a shot of brandy won't hurt. And I took a big old swig of brandy and then started the show and then took another shot of brandy. Yeah, it was a good show. I was feeling no pain. Anyway, Robin, I'm just tickled to death. I was listening to you whilst I was eating dinner.
I hope I didn't ruin it.
No, I was much involved. Much involved. When you all started talking about, oh, Clarence Thomas.
Fat Pap and Jin Jin.
Yep. Ain't that some shit. So how long is that going to go on before something happens? You know, where there's some kind of accountability.
Don't make me be a little ray of fucking sunshine. Don't do that to me.
Nothing's going to happen.
You know, in the back of my head, I go, yeah, no, it's not going to happen. Should we do it? Yes, we should pursue this. You know, and yeah. What are we going to do?
John, the only thing that can happen is Democrats have to make this as part of their case for 2024.
It has to be a constant. You know, I did my beer and bud today.
Add it to the pile.
I mentioned today. You know, I'm going on 7 years of this shit, and it really all it is pom-poms. Keep you interested. Keep you motivated. You ain't got to do it every day. It ain't got to be all your life. But there comes a time we're going to need you, and you need to show up and vote your ass off. So, I don't know.
We're back to vote. Yeah. Vote like your life depends on it, because it does. And in fact, I'm gonna allow myself a little bit of at least dare to dream, like I've been saying.
Go for it, buddy.
I just got a note from our dear friend Claire across the pond, who said, some good news from England. Tories have lost 1,000-plus seats in the council elections that took place in England yesterday. Labour, the Greens, and the Liberal Democrats all made huge gains. UKIP, as in Party of Nasty Nigel Farage, that propelled us toward the disaster of Brexit, were wiped off the map. Great cheers all around, except in conservative and right-wing circles that have been blaming their fall on everyone and everything. I know who they're blaming. Apart from themselves, they look and sound pathetic. Our not-so-dear leader, Rishi Sunak, is gobsmacked, among many others. Claire closes saying, the schadenfreude is so sweet and will be coming to you soon. Much love. Much love back, Claire. That's wonderful news. Maybe,
outstanding, Claire.
Maybe y'all can step back from the brink.
That's good news.
That's the first good news
I think we've heard. Well, Brazil was good. Italy was really bad. But, you know, people don't like the smell of fascism. Right? People don't like the smell of fascism. Stinks real bad.
They don't go well for us down here at the bottom either.
No, everything rolls downhill.
Yes, baby. They want to work for us, poor, hungry, and needing a job. That's what they want. You can't quit your job. You got to pay the rent and buy groceries, baby. What are you going to do? You ain't got car payment, you know, all that shit. You got to work.
Yeah, Lord, don't I know about it. And
widgets for the man.
We got 30 minutes to if I could just jump in, we got 30 minutes left to go in the program. Sorry to be doing this. $405 to finish the week and make sure that we've got a stress line and I've got a phone, because it's all part of the same thing. Got $405 to go. If we can do that in a miraculously short amount of time, that bill will be paid, and then I can start sweating Appalachian power, because, God.
It's always something, Robin. It's always something.
Well, that's the way it is for working folks, John.
I pitch this every time I come in, because the most important thing you can do is to use your voice and your vote in this democracy. That's the only thing that's going to save it. But we have people like Robin who are using her voice. Robin gets paid by – if you have the money, if you have a few extra bucks that you can – and it's not hard. I rely heavily on the Blue Dot family to keep me and my show afloat. Robin is the same way. So if you've got a few bucks, that's a way to exercise that right to free speech and keeping the pom-poms going, to keeping people motivated, to keep you involved and to know things. I learn a lot on this show. I have been listening to Robin for a long time. I learned so much, and from others on her show. And I know you're out there listening to it, and you're enjoying it. You're learning things, too. So if you can, I'm just saying, if you can, pitch in a little bit, because a little bit goes a long way. It may make a difference whether she's got power or not. So, and I know that feeling. So do what you can.
It's called radical self-interest.
There you are, Ken.
Anyway. Yeah, and I agree. John, honestly, I can't imagine trying to go to sleep without Robin.
You know, important voices.
That probably could have been phrased better, but...
you know.
Yeah, I know, I understand.
I
you
love
go to
it.
Bed, you know, in your head, she's right there. And, you know, it helps, I know. But we got to keep the lights on. So.
And now it's a deep, soothing voice. And
That's what it is. That's what I get told all the time.
Almost an orgasm, and
hey.
And then,
yeah, now, let's stay away from there, please.
TMI.
Well, hey, have you heard about the Board of Justice down in Georgia? They got a plan, I'm telling you. You're about State Bill, what was it, 92, State Bill 92, SB 92, down in Georgia. You know, you got Fannie Willis down there. She's cooking up a case up against Donnie. Well, hold on. Just hold on. Georgia has initiated an oversight commission. You know, let me quote it. This bill will help hold prosecutors driven by out-of-touch politics. Gives them the right to pull a DA or a prosecutor right out of
Yeah,
right
we were just talking about that a minute ago. That's yeah.
I missed it. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. You want to stay up to us right here on the Robin and Kate show.
Democracy's dying in the South.
I mean,
everywhere.
It's
in your state.
Every day.
Wow, John.
But I did find the story. I did find the story about the eight fake electors in Georgia flipping. 8 out of 16 have taken an immunity agreement from Fannie Willis. According to the Washington Post, the prosecutors told the eight they won't be charged with crimes if they testify truthfully in her investigation. This is all from a brief that was filed. This is all from a brief filed Friday in Fulton County Superior Court by defense pettifogger Kimberly Burroughs DeBrow. Willis has said that the meeting of Trump's electors on December 14, 2020, despite Republican Governor Brian Kemp's certification of Biden's win, is a key target of her investigation, along with Nitwit Nero's phone calls.
It was a perfect phone call.
To multiple state officials.
I just need you to find me 10,780 votes, that's all.
That's all. Just find them. They're there. Because we won. We won the state. You know. Ain't it wonderful?
So I hope they roll. God, I hope they roll like a bag of marbles dropped on a ski jump slope.
You know, it's all got to start soon, Robin. Because even if it started tomorrow, it's going to take several years to get through this.
Yeah.
Shit. You know, so I'm ready to kick this shit in the ass. Somebody move. I know we're waiting on. Some new session down in Georgia, I can't remember what right now, for Fannie Willis to start her shit. I think they said June. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Jack Smith with all his shit going on. They got a new insider at the Mar-a-Lago. Somebody's seen something, I guess.
Who's the rat? Who's the bat? Yeah. Snitches get stitches. Who is
stitches
it?
Snitches get... Yeah. Oh, the drama goes on every day. Entertainment.
Stoke the stroke.
Unfortunately, the outcome could be our democracy. You know,
you go
it's a hell
back.
Of a fight, baby.
Yes, yeah. Our democracy, such as it is, you know.
Such as it is.
Well, here's another little ray of sunshine moment. The White House got a recent sobering. Now, this is on the very same day that the World Health Organization says that COVID is no longer a global pandemic.
Right.
Well, the White House was recently briefed about the fact that the Rona may actually come back bigger and badder. One scientist is saying, and he's highly regarded, that there's about a 40% chance of an Omicron-like wave. Oh, great. But here's, I mean, this is just kind of a gratifying paragraph to read after the way that it was initially handled. White House officials spoke with about a dozen leading experts in virology, immunobiology, and other fields about the prospect that the virus would again develop mutations that allow it to evade protections from vaccines and treatments. Those discussions, not previously reported, came as the administration planned for the May 11th end of the public health emergency that was declared at the dawn of the pandemic. And the thing is, Dan Baruch, an immunologist and virologist at Harvard Medical School, said, "No one's saying the risk is zero. It's more than an infinitesimal chance, and it's by no means a certainty." And
hey, you know, Robin?
Yeah, Sparky.
The World Health Organization came out today and said the pandemic was over.
Yeah, I know they did. That's what I just said that. It's kind of ironic that this story gets published on the same day that that happens. I think maybe if one digs deep, it might be, it's over for now.
Stay tuned for episode 2.
But did you notice that the White House...
I'm still going to check, see if I can get a booster when I go to the doctor.
You're over 65. You're good to go. When was your last one?
October.
Yeah, you're eligible.
Depends on the state.
Does it?
Yep.
It was announced nationally. It was a CDC, wasn't it, announcement?
Yes, it was a CDC announcement, and some states jumped on it right away, and some states haven't. Don't ask me how the states got involved statement.
I got a text from my pharmacist, Kroger, and they said, "Hey, you can have another booster." It feels like too early yet for me. I don't... Because what?
Walgreens has been doing a nationwide thing on Facebook saying, "We're open and we're going to give shots, da-da-da-da-da." And in the comments section, it's, "I live in XYZ state, and I got in touch with my Walgreens, and they said this state hasn't done it." And then somebody else says, "I got the same thing in a different town of the same state." And the Walgreens response is, "Send us a direct message. We'll see what we can do about it." But in reading through the comments, it's clear that some states are going for that second Omicron variant booster, which in my case would be, I believe, my sixth shot. And some states aren't. I'm waiting for my VA appointment in June to have a chat with them.
Good luck. Oh, and regarding DiFi, I had a note from Darlene in Connecticut. She announced today she's coming back to the Senate and will take her seat on the Judiciary Committee, as previously mentioned. She downplayed the missed judicial confirmations, saying there were just a few. As Darlene notes, when they are several, and that she's home from the hospital. No ETA, as she said, her medical team must determine when she is healthy enough to travel. As the lack of an ETA is annoying, unfortunately, she has to return so we can get those judicial nominees approved, as her resignation still requires 60 votes. And we all know Chinless will never allow it. DiFi expressed disappointment in the Repig's refusal to vote for her replacement on the committee, but really? She thought they'd play nice?
That reminds me of Susan Collins how disappointed in Dottie.
Susan Collins!
Oh, Dottie, how could you do that? Who could ever believe Donnie would lie? Come on.
I'm shocked to find out there's gambling going on here.
The freaking arrogance of sci-fi is crazy.
It's insane.
I'm like, nobody can do your job. I can save you. Doesn't she sound like Trump?
Only I can fix it. Yeah. Maybe like that's what she's saying.
Because after they get in, number one priority is staying in. Yeah. That's it.
Yes.
And it costs this country. That kind of shit. I'm for term limits, baby.
Disaster. Well, get in there, not term limits.
Do the best you can and then get your ass out and let somebody else get in there.
Isn't it that maybe the staff is involved in...
Oh, the staff is running everything. Ken, the staff is running everything. It's just like when Bob Byrd came toward, approached his final days.
Peace be upon him.
Yeah. Well, here's a fun one. So, former Attorney General Bill Barr, the prosecution, showed up on the having a chat with Geraldo Rivera over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And C-SPAN. C-SPAN.
What did he have? What words of knowledge came out of
Well, Geraldo asked him if Nitwit Nero is fit to be president. And the answer, well...
I think January 6th was more profoundly disruptive and more serious than maybe some of your remarks, but I you are my favorite person in Washington. I think the most honest person in Washington.
What?
And the question I have for you, given that I trust you, so is Donald Trump... A lot of my friends say, okay, he's made mistakes, and okay, January 6th, and okay, this and that. It is his policies that we'd be voting for. Given that pragmatic side also, do you think he is emotionally fit to be president of the United States? I disagree. I think that Trump and Biden will be the candidates, that whatever that says about the United States. Is he fit to be president of the United States? Is Donald Trump fit to be president?
This is the way I'll answer that, Geraldo, which is, if you believe in his policies, he's the what he's advertising is his policies, he's the last person who could actually execute them and achieve them. He does not have the discipline. He does not have the ability for strategic thinking and linear thinking or setting priorities or how to get things done in the system. It is a horror show. When he's left to his own devices, and so you may want his policies, but Trump will not deliver Trump policies. He will deliver chaos, and if anything, lead to a backlash that will set his policies much further back than they otherwise would be.
That's a very direct answer.
Thank you, General.
What do you make of that?
He's not wrong.
I would say that Bar the Hutt, or well, Donnie is as fit to be president as Bar the Hutt is fit to run a marathon.
You ever get the feeling Bill Barr's trying to backpedal his way out of a bunch of bullshit?
I get that feeling all the time.
That man. He assisted that man.
He enabled that man.
I saved my own ass, kind of shit.
John Bridgeville, he enabled that man.
Yes, he did.
And he dummied up Mueller's report for that man.
Flat through the trash. Nothing to see here, people.
And remember, this was a redux, because the first time around was Iran-Contra, when he made all that disappear.
All the pardons.
Yep.
Seems like we're doomed to repeat history.
Bill Barr's right there for you.
Gets a little wearisome.
Like, Harvey Keitel and Pulp Fiction, right? Just call him up.
The cleaner.
How many months till the election? 18, 17, what? Get your shit together, people. Be ready.
18 months.
It's not much. We're going to have summer, nice winter, Christmas is coming. Well, New Year's, then you're going to have to start thinking about shit. Because there's going to be a lot of shit happen between now and then. Uh-huh. A lot of shit, I'm afraid.
Well, June, we were talking, John, before you joined, we were talking about June and the Supreme Court decisions. Just imagine the way they're going to slice and dice up the Constitution, you know, next month.
Any way they can. Evidently, they're not afraid to.
Fuck.
As they've already demonstrated.
Yeah.
You know, is, what's his name? That guy that we was talking about earlier. What's his shit name? Leonard Leo.
Oh, yeah. Lee. Just call him Lee, John.
Huh? America's number one enemy.
There you go, baby. You know, how am I supposed, as a citizen out here, how any of us supposed to trust the Supreme Court right now? I don't. I can count four of them. They ain't worth a shit. That's just being two of the appointments by Trump. We all know we're stolen. They're just outright stolen by the Republican Party.
Didn't their approval rating drop into the 40s? And guess what? The next time that survey comes out, it's going to lose another 10, 15, 20 points. I guarantee it.
Right, and if old balls and strikes says anything, it's because the press is reporting negatively on us. Y'all don't understand how hard we have it.
We have it so
liberal
hard.
Liberal media.
I can't have my wife's name out there on a bunch of documents getting money, and all of a sudden somebody's going to hear that shit, and y'all just don't understand the pain of a citizen. Oh, fuck off.
Stop picking on me.
Leave Fappy alone.
Justice Department.
You're making fun of my friend.
Yeah.
So aren't they exposed to the Justice Department at that point? I mean, you're taking bribes, right?
That's what it is.
They're daring. They're saying na 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 na. I mean,
this is not bribes. These are just friendly gestures towards.
One of my dearest friends who only became dear to me after I got on the Supreme Court.
After I delivered all these.
He wouldn't have drunk from the same water fountain as me.
Really? Your buddy's a Hitler?
Well said. Give yourself a cowbell for that, Robin.
Oh, why, thank you, Christopher.
Yeah, there's no way Hardy Har Har would have ever had a drink from the same pitcher of lemonade.
It's Hardy Har Har.
In a situation, baby.
Kavanaugh probably Fox. Got paid off by the same billionaire.
Leonard Leo. Sure.
Yeah,
right?
Follow that money trail.
Mr. Beer Boy.
Yep. Get on it.
Beer Boofing Brat.
What's that Christian lady's name? I keep forgetting her name.
We don't even speak her name here. We don't even speak her name here, John. We just call her the Handmaid.
The Handmaid. Oh, that's a good one. I'm sorry, I missed that before. She fits right in, doesn't she?
Well, she really was. I mean, she held a position within that cult she was a part of called People of Praise, and her position was called Handmaid.
There you go.
So that's not a slur. That's just who the hell she is and was.
That's who she is.
Yeah, Matt in San Francisco just said, well, I guess Bill Barr doesn't need the reference letter.
Amy is actually, you know, everybody knows the movie Carrie, right? Amy is actually Carrie's long lost sister.
Yeah.
Where's that bucket?
Disgusting.
Just another day in America, baby. Hey, guess what?
Do tell.
We got another one tomorrow.
And don't we just?
Yes, we do. Oh, I'm going to enjoy it, though. I will. Tomorrow's a big day here in Corpus Christi. Our annual Buccaneers Day Festival kicks off.
Yar.
Walk the plank. The mayor's got to walk the plank right out there in the bay. And then we got everything from the B-52s coming through to Blue Angels.
I was going
to
say, the planes or the band?
The planes.
Darn, I was kind of hoping for a live rendition of Love Shack.
We've got a big air show going down, all up to the Blue Angels and everything underneath. I've been hearing airplanes above my house all day long. They're out here. They do it every time there's an air show. They go out and fly around the local areas to, you know, so everybody runs outside and goes, hey, what's that? And then you go check on the news, and there you go. Come down to the air show.
Is Cancun Ted going to show up there?
I hope not.
And wheel in Abbott.
Okay, so what is John
Cancun, and I hope he stays there.
What do you think of the proposed new challenger to Raffaelito?
You know, I don't know yet. You know, everybody's looking to see if Beto is going to try to jump back in again. And Beto's been making comments. He's not dropped off the radar completely. So, but I'm not familiar with exactly who's running against him, if there is somebody yet declared.
Well, there's I don't have the data immediately to hand, but he's said to be a potentially formidable opponent, former football player. You know, that always plays well in Texas.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's huge.
Oh, yes, and I should know his name, but I don't right off the hand, and I don't have a single computer on in front of me.
It's a football player, so I would probably know.
I just came in here after 8, so none of my shit's even open.
Okay, so I have...
Are you talking about Colin Elred?
No. So, 10 minutes to go in the program. It's Miracle.
Have we collected enough yet?
No. We still got a $405 hole to fill.
But we still have 10 minutes.
Yeah, we do still have 10 minutes.
We still have 10 minutes, people. Do what you can. If it's a dollar, I tell you what, Robin knows you got Patreon. Dollar a month goes a long way for a lot of people. You got $5, $10, it goes much more than that if you can handle it. It goes to a good cause. You're given to a proper fight here.
Yeah, and George, Robin, George and Course Gold just jumped in. Thank you, George.
There you go. George, thank you.
So we are now down to 365.
And still have 9 minutes.
Still
have 9 minutes to go. You know, I can't stress it up. It's got, and it's humbling for Robin to have to even mention that she relies on this Horn family to pay the bills. And the bills change every month. Hell, what happens to the car this month? We don't know. Well, there goes the electric bill. You got to make that up. These are all the shit that we all deal with, every one of us in our lives. But we have a job to go do, and we get paid for that job. Robin, this is her job.
It drives me bananas. I mean, it's been a hell of a, you know, the last month or so has been hell. Property taxes hit. My warranty adventure with my tires got $37 a tire knocked off. That wound up being $525. Water heater. There's another 500.
Don't talk about water heaters. I just went through that shit. And I couldn't afford to replace it, so you got to repair it. So two elements, two relays, and a pop-off valve later. Still under the cost of a hot water heater. But, yeah, it digs into what you got left to pay the bills and buy the groceries.
Yeah, and then it was, you know, getting the – and I know they're extortionate, and I know they want another rate increase, but I'd really appreciate it if Appalachian Electric Power would not send me a letter on Monday saying pay us $750 or the house gets it, and then the next day getting a letter from them saying pay us $1,400 or the house gets it.
Oh, man, no. I couldn't do the $14. I'm having a hard time keeping up with mine. You know, and I'm trying to cut back everywhere I can. I'm trying to cut back on everything because, like you, donations are not what they used to be. We're not in the middle of a prime time election season. There's probably little fewer viewers out there and stuff, so we have to rely on those that are faithful to
and people cause. And John, people are being eaten alive by inflation.
They are. So it's natural. No, I can't afford shit. How can I ask somebody else to donate?
Yeah, and the California contingent will immediately hate me, but it pretty much sucks around here because, you know, wherever you are, you're a half hour from where you want to be. So.
Half hour. God, Texas, baby.
Okay. So when gas hits $3.60 a gallon, it was going down. It got down around $3.19. Yeah, but when it hits, bang! You know.
And it's 30 miles into town.
Right.
Not to mention everybody and their brother has that podcast.
$4.39 a gallon.
See, that's exactly what I just said.
Because every time I do, somebody in California tells me how much they're paying, and I just shit my pants. I couldn't do that. Are you shitting me? No, I live across the street from refineries down here, and it's about 320, I guess, somewhere around there. But all they have to do is run a pipe across the street. That's where they're making the shit, all up and down the ship channel here. It's all nothing but refineries. But when I hear $5, $6 out of
California, market, right?
Man.
Right, John?
What's that?
It's all got to go on the global market, right?
Oh, that's
and wind its way right back to you. But it's got to go around the world
about,
like 25
oil
times.
Oil and gas, drill American, get American. Are you shitting? That American oil is put right on the freaking market. It doesn't mean you, but if you want it, you buy it. It's not American oil. It's Shell oil. It's Texaco's oil. It's whoever drilled it out of the ground. It ain't yours. It's sold on the open market. There's nothing American about it except the profits. So that always kills me. Good America. We'll drill American oil. Yeah. Well, let's keep it America. No, we can't do
but
that.
But you're lucky enough to get all the fumes and the fine particulates that
now
Robin's
turn
always
on your TV,
about.
There's a,
you're lucky
there's
enough
a
to get all that.
There's a refinery right outside of Houston that is on fire as we speak right now.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's bad. And there's black, billowy smoke, and they're flaring like shit off those stacks. It's bad right now, yeah. Turn on your news. And you'll see it on there. It's happening now.
I wonder which regulation that was rolled back by the Nitwit Nero administration will wind up being responsible for that one.
Yeah, and you can bet your ass it is. You know, I don't forget exactly who was that, Scott Pruitt in charge of the EPA. He went in there and built that super secret room inside so he could get in there and start cutting regulations left and right. And he came from an oil gas state, Oklahoma, man. That's what he did.
He litigated against the EPA, correct?
Huh?
He was a litigator against the EPA.
Yes, yes.
He brought cases
against the EPA.
Yeah.
There's a good job for him.
That's who you want running the EPA, right?
Yeah, you want a fox in the hen house.
We're going to be paying for that for a generation because many regulations were cut.
I remember Dim Leader when he appointed the leader, the head of the SEC. Same thing. It was a lawyer that had filed cases against the SEC his entire career.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go. We still have 5 minutes left. If you have not made a donation yet, we're urging you, hit that button down there. Is there a button that says donate down there?
And it's right there on the there on the main page at the horn, right there, or you can use the old Gmail address. It just goes straight to PayPal.
Hit that button and get a few bucks in. Because if it mounts up, it doesn't matter if it's less than what you think is honorable. Hey, buddy, I'll tell you what, I'll take 50 cents.
Damn right.
Because it's not about the money. It's about the love that goes behind it.
And I'm sorry for all the existential crises, but I promise you it's not because, you know, I'm refilling the horn Olympic-sized pancreas-shaped swimming pool. I'm really not.
With wine.
Brandy.
Yeah.
Bad tub, Jim.
I'm just like you, Robin. I'm like a lot of people. We're worried about the groceries in the pantry and how much gas I got left in the tank.
So we are now.
But if you're not in that situation, then you're able to help. Please do.
Another of our a kind internet friend, Anonymous.
I know that guy.
Yeah, we'll just call him Nonnie. Nonnie Mouse.
Nonnie Mouse.
Just got us down to 265.
We still have 3 minutes.
No, wait.
You got a cipher. Take your socks off. You're getting confused.
No kidding. So, yeah.
Thank you, Anonymous. Thank you for that.
Thank you so much. 265. $265 away from a community-made miracle. I did want to run this real quick because this is a dandy. We know that Tim Scott, the junior senator from South Carolina, Stan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That guy.
Yeah, he wants to run for president.
Really?
Yeah, he wants to be the presidential version of. What you know, the way Fappy followed up on a great man, Thurgood Marshall, he wants to be our second black president following up on Barack Obama. And he knows who he has to talk to out there among the people who scurry out from behind the baseboards to vote every 4 years. So to the extent that we fret about things like theocracy, well, here we are. Get this.
As Christ is being shoved out in America through media and government and being replaced by evil,
even evil gods. How do we change that?
Well, number one, we have to recognize that the Constitution of the United States affords each and every one of you your First Amendment rights to exercise your faith wherever you go.
No matter whom it hurts.
We are supposed to have the government bowing the knee to the church, not the church bowing the knee to the government.
Yeah, clap, yeah. You got
slap
that?
His ass. Somebody slap his ass.
Yeah, you got that? The United States government is supposed to bow the knee to the religion industry.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, the boobert said that like a few months ago.
I bet you can translate that directly into Farsi, and it would just sound exactly. The mullahs would say the same thing.
Yes. Yeah. It is the same thing.
Because it is the same thing. Yes.
I don't want a government run by a religion. Are you shitting me? There's 4,200 religions in this world. Jesus, pick one. They're all screwy as shit. They all start off with some fantasy and bullshit, but they
Uber
all have
one
reason, and that's to control your life. You know, if they just make it about them instead of us, that'd be fine. You like religion? You like your God? Make it all about you. Yeah. Live the way, as a matter of fact, live the way the Bible says. And stay out of other people's business. Yeah. I get pissed at religion.
Well, it just shows you how little they know about this country, the history. You know, they're always rambling on about the airports that we defended in the Revolutionary War, right? All that good stuff.
Battle of Bowling Green.
Yeah. Battle of the bowling alley.
And the Boobert's
bowling alley. We know what goes on there.
There ain't no telling what you'll talk about on this show. You'll talk about all sorts of shit.
Oh, without a doubt. And by the way, I was wrong. Sparky said Colin Allred, and I said didn't. Colin. It was Colin Allred. So I apologize, Sparky. Billable Rick telling me Allred played linebacker for Baylor and then for the Tennessee Titans in the NFL. He's an African-American U.S. House member and is the announced Democratic challenger to Rafael Leto Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. His campaign claims it's raised $2 million so far to challenge Cruz. He won his U.S. House seat in 2018 when he successfully flipped a red seat to blue. On May 3rd, as a result of Representative Allred declaring his candidacy, the Cook Report moved the Texas Senate seat from safe Republican to likely Republican.
Because Texas is, believe it or not, I don't give a shit what even, it's trending blue, as they say in the technology world. It's trending blue. We're getting tired of this shit. I got a governor that's a jackass, two senators that we don't give two shits about. I got a congressman that doesn't, he's got, what's his name's hand up his ass so he don't talk unless he's told to. People in Texas are about tired of this shit.
Well, it's a shooting gallery, too. At the carnival. Everywhere you look.
They're not taking on the issues. They're just like the general Republican Party. They don't have any. They're not talking about issues except cultural issues, something they could scream about. Now they want to separate the LGBTQ
from Harris County.
Yeah, they screwed over Harris County.
No, I heard about that.
Yeah, they're trying to set it up so that the appointed Secretary of State can just throw out the election results if they turn out to be a shortage of paper ballots.
Harris County is the biggest Democratic county there is here in Texas.
And they set the number right at that population, too.
Yes, they did.
God damn it.
Tell me there ain't a game going on. More and more people are waking up to this shit, though. Because the only way Republicans can win is to lie, cheat, and steal. That's it. While they run their mouth about, ooh, Biden stole the election. Fuck you. Fuck you. You keep hollering about us doing shit that they're doing in broad open daylight. Look around at how many states across this country have put restriction on voting rights. Oh, you got to vote here. You can't vote there. You got to vote between this time and that time. By the way, you have to stand on the left foot, jump up and down three times, and then move forward in the line. Don't jump three times. Sorry, you got to get to the end of the line. It's bullshit. Something they'll come up with to try to prevent you from voting.
Well, death sentence did was extremely effective. He made sure to send all the TV cameras out when he was dragging people out of their homes who voted that they were supposedly that they were able to vote by the results of the.
Oh, yes. The criminal voters they arrested on camera. Yeah. I remember
right. That. Right. Yeah. Which, well, I think the vast majority of all those cases were all dismissed because they were frivolous, but it didn't stop the cameras from rolling.
No, because that's the issue. I mean, that's what they're selling.
Uh-huh.
It's an image.
If you come out and vote, we're going to hunt your ass down.
Hunt your ass down. You'll go to prison, probably for life, you know. It's whatever they can scare people with. That's the whole Republican thing.
Precisely.
Scare the fuck out of somebody.
But I tell you what, let's have a happy moment before we head out. 265 to go for a community-made miracle.
We can make it.
Judge Lewis Kaplan in U.S. District Court in Manhattan is apparently a little bit frustrated with Nitwit Nero's pettifogger, you know, Joe took a penis.
That's pretty good, Rob.
Thank you.
Hey. I'll vote for that one.
Wait a minute. Can you hear my bell? Oh, no.
Took a penis.
My bell.
Where's your gun? There we go.
Thank you.
So they had a sidebar during the trial after Judge Kaplan had already told Tacopina to restrain his client's arguably criminal conduct talking about the trial. And, of course, Nitwit Nero, I think it was yesterday, said, I love being in Scotland and Ireland. But I have to go back for a woman that made a false accusation about me, and I have a judge who is extremely hostile, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to confront this, but this woman's a disgrace, and it shouldn't be allowed to happen in our country.
And over again yesterday, Joe took a penis, told the judge, no, he's not going to testify.
No,
really, he's not going to testify, Your Honor. Well, they had a sidebar, and Joe took a penis, whined to the judge, I know you understand what I'm dealing with.
That's pretty good, Robin.
Thank you.
And I'm sure the judge does.
And because Kaplan is not at all happy with the latest remarks trying to poison the trial. Neither the press nor the jury could hear it. Kaplan said, I'm not implying dishonesty on your part. And Joe took a penis, said, listen, I'll try to address the public postings with my client. And Judge Kaplan said, well, I hope you're more successful. Because your client may be or may not be tampering with a new source of potential liability. And I think you know what I mean. Oh, yes, Your Honor, I do. I so do. I definitely do. Definitely.
Definitely.
Well, the next stop sounds like Gagler.
No, the next court. The next stop sounds like contempt of court.
Okay. Don't you have to have gag order first, then contempt of court, or you can go directly straight to contempt of court?
I think he's been warned enough.
Yeah, after the first warning, and with the first warning, I kind of had a low rent conniption because it was all about, he said, Judge Kaplan said, get your client under control. And Joe took a penis, said, I'll ask him to stop. And, of course, I said, you know, since when does a judge tell you to do something and you say, I'll ask? No, you tell him.
Let's see if it's all right.
Yeah, you dumb fuck. Stop it. You're making it impossible for me to do my job that at least nominally, theoretically, you're paying me to do. I'll ask.
But you know what I'm dealing with, Judge.
We all know what he's dealing with.
Ow.
Everybody knows.
Yeah, ow.
Everybody.
Well, and here's the other thing. If that court was dealing with someone in the same circumstances who had more melanin, they'd already be behind Trump.
Yes. And by the way,
100%.
By the way, Matt in San Francisco pointed out in regard to the fundraising goal, thanks for the sour persimmons, Matt. That caviar ain't free. That caviar ain't caviar. I get it down at the bait shop, damn it. You know down at the bait shop, don't you, John Bredevo? Yeah.
Oh, the sushi shop?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt adds, that's a good name. Mia took a penis and her sister Ida, you know, Ida took a penis. Matt gets,
fabulous.
That's probably the last cowbell of the evening, and it goes
that's
to Matt.
That's totally fabulous. Oh,
okay, one more funny. Over at CNN, they put together, because remember, testicle-toasting Tucky O'Rose Carlson said, they were peaceful, they were orderly and meek, these were not insurrectionists. And then there was Greg Gutfeld, said, no one's been charged with sedition or insurrection. That was, you know, back in October 2021. So CNN couldn't resist having a little bit of fun, and it was after the seditious conspiracy verdict came out yesterday.
Oh, it was an insurrection. So how many of the participants in that insurrection have been charged with insurrecting, with sedition, with treason? Zero.
But you know what? No one has been charged with sedition.
No one has been charged with sedition or insurrection. Most have been hit with charges like parading. Parading. Who knew that was a crime?
Do you know how many people have been charged with inciting insurrection or sedition or treason or domestic terrorism as a result of anything? Zero.
Has anybody been charged with sedition? Nobody. Has anybody been charged with treason? Nobody. So why do they keep calling it an insurrection?
How many times do words like insurrection, sedition, or treason appear in Biden's own DOJ indictments against the January 6th rioters? The answer, zero.
Insurrecting? Well, they've been charged and now convicted.
And now they've been convicted.
Seditious conspiracy.
Convicted.
That's what it is, right?
Yep.
Who did they conspire with? I bet you if you keep following that trail, baby, it leads all the way up to the White House, but it goes right through Congress. Remember all the walkabout congressmen gave before January 6th?
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Look at here, look at there. Yeah.
Speaker's office is that way.
We haven't gone near enough.
Lady G.
Well,
Josh roasting on an open laser.
There you go, baby. Light the fire. Let's go. Roast them up. I'm ready. Because we all know it. We're all witnesses to the same damn crimes. And sure. We all know who the guilty people are.
Oh, and by the way, Randy Radar informed me of this little fact I found interesting. The late Eugene Carroll was a former Navy admiral and an anti-nuclear activist. I'm presuming that's E. Jean Carroll's husband? Anti-nuclear activist and a former Navy admiral. How about that?
The things you learn.
And now you know.
He learned a lot, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And, of course, Nitwit Nero has been ordered to pay Mary Trump's legal fees in the lawsuit there. The New York Supreme Court, which is the trial court level in New York, the trial court judge dismissed his $100 million lawsuit against the New York Times. That was May 3rd. And
I'm loving it.
He also sued his niece, Mary, and Justice Robert R. Reed referred to him as the twice impeached former president and said that his claims against the Times fail as a matter of constitutional law.
You could just call him Tip. Tip for short.
But I think that only had to do with the New York Times. I think the Mary Trump case is still under review.
It was settled also.
Yeah, the whole thing's gone.
Oh, okay. The last I heard, it was just the Times and that Mary's case was still to be decided later.
I love these poll questions that come at the bottom of the stories. Do you think Trump will ever actually win a lawsuit against a media company? No. No.
So much losing. So much losing.
I hope Mary makes Trump worship her as an ex-Catholic.
Yeah, so as we so often say, gee, I hope it doesn't hurt too little.
Been a good Friday.
It has been.
It has.
It's been, and thank you, John Bredevo, for coming by and cussing and discussing.
I've been meaning to get in here, my life. Day by day, baby, day by day nowadays.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I think you all.
We persevere.
John, I think of you and Marcia and your family all the time, and please give them all my love.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Much needed, baby. Much needed.
And Jude in the Great Northwest said, rest, dear community, to everyone, and sent me a photo of the rainbow over her house.
Aww.
So Darlene got a rainbow in Connecticut, and apparently it extended all the way to Washington.
The hell of a rainbow.
That's a heck of a rainbow.
Let's hope it does some good.
There's got to be one hell
Let's
of a,
hope it touches
cool
a few hearts.
Leprechaun on the back end of that.
Aye.
They can be problematic, little folk, but I sure could. Yeah, we sure could. Don't even have to have the whole pot of gold; just a few of the coins,
Just a few, just the drippings.
Yeah, just the stuff that rolls off the top while he's running away.
That's it. Would help tremendously. So if you have a few coins rattling around and your pot is overfilling, send a few coins over to Robin. She needs some money.
Yeah. That's wild that we're $265 away from...
See, we could do that before we end the show. Yeah. Come on. Let's go. Let's all do it. Let's everybody jump in there and get Robin to have a miracle. You could have a miracle in less than a minute.
Yes. Miracles can happen rather quickly.
Rather quickly.
And I'm so grateful for the miracle we got last week because I don't know how we would have gotten through the weekend without it. So, thanks.
Miracle or not, I personally want to thank everybody who donated tonight. Thank you.
Absolutely, thank you. Yes.
It is.
Yeah, I'm within a couple of $100 of being able to pay the phone bill.
It'll come, baby.
I hope so.
It'll come.
Well, enjoy the Buccaneer Fest. Buccaneer Days,
indeed.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, the Buccaneer Days Festival, yes, indeed. I'm going to watch the air show with the Blue Angels and all that stuff.
You know,
Do you have an outfit? Do you have an outfit, John?
I'm going as an old man with a beard.
Ditto. I mean, there weren't any parrot?
I do have a parrot. Indeed, if you know me, you know I do have a parrot.
Yes.
I didn't know you had a parrot.
Oh, yes. Yellow named Amazon.
Well, there you go. You're all set. Yeah.
You know what his favorite words are? His name is Fred, and his favorite words are, ah, you want a margarita? Ah. Of course I do.
You know what? John Bredevo, you are the living embodiment of a line from a Jimmy Buffett song.
I'm trying to be.
Because there's a song where he sings, if I ever live to be an old man, I'm going to sail down to Martinique. I'm going to buy me a sweat-stained Bogart suit and an African parakeet. I'm going to sit him on my shoulder, open up my trusty old rhymes. I'm going to teach him how to cuss and teach him how to fuss and pull the cork out of a bottle of wine.
There you go, baby.
That's from a song life called Mystery to Me, I think.
Life is good. I'm trying.
I didn't know about your parrot.
I got a parrot. Yeah. I got a donkey. I got three dogs. And how many cats do you want me to ship to you?
No, I haven't.
You're cat poor,
man,
John.
You're like...
I am cat
You're poor. Like, what was the name of that movie? The Doolittle? Dr. Doolittle.
That's me. That's me. I get donations sometimes. A box will show up in the mail. Somebody sent me a 15-pound sack of cat food.
And you know what? That's a great gift. Food, that is a great gift.
So how many cats you got now, John?
I can't count them. I mean, they run a lot. I imagine I got probably 20. Now, we are trying to make an attempt to get some fixed. We've already taken some in, got them fixed, because there's a new batch out there on the porch right now. I got five little kittens out there.
Aww.
I'm sorry, four. We lost one.
Bob Barker's going to haunt your house, John.
I ain't got no freaking rats around here. You know how many times I've walked out my front door and there'd be a dead mouse laying right there? That's a thank you. Here you go. Call that for you.
Here's a snack.
You know, John.
Yeah.
You know what Lewis Black says about cats?
What do you say?
They're aliens.
They are.
You know how cats stare at you?
Yes, they do.
He says they suck the life out of you.
I don't trust
them. They're the true alien, and they run the Jewish space lasers.
I swear they look at you like I could eat you. You know that, don't you?
After
you're dead.
I'm eating your face after you're dead. You do know that, right? It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't there a Stephen King like short story about a cat that can seal your breath?
Don't make me have nightmares.
That's an old folk tale that you never let a cat around a new baby because the cat will steal the baby's breath.
Ooh.
That's an old wives' tale, yes.
Scientists will tell you
that cats
are predator nature. They're probably
going
to kill you.
My pit bull just says, well, they taste like chicken, man. She licks on them all the time. She had one on the couch this morning sitting there just purring, and she's sitting there just giving it a bath.
Loving this, yeah. Well, the little tortie here, Lucy Morning Paw, has apparently become very fond of my clothing, and so whenever it is humanly possible, she will snuggle down on it. Yeah, I go in to take a shower, peel off, clothes in the floor, boom. She's on it, and just happy, purring for all.
You just have to come to that realization, darling, that they're not your clothes. She's just letting you use them.
Yeah, right. They're her bedding. Yeah,
What would we do without the animals in our life or the friends?
Oh, I know. How is Jenny?
Like the Horn family.
How's Jenny?
No, she's doing fine. Jenny's doing fine. Eats a lot of hay. Everybody eats around here. Dogs, cats, donkeys, birds. I can't sit down and eat without that parrot right over my, what do you got there? What do you got? You know, I don't care. Breakfast, she wants some eggs. You got lunch, she wants a piece of that pork chop or whatever it is you're eating, she wants it. And so much for that shit that birds are eat seeds. Hell no, that birds eat chicken all the time. I keep telling her, you're a cannibal, man.
Well, birds are omnivores, right? Because they'll eat seeds, but they'll eat bugs, too, right?
Fred loves me.
And pork chop? Pork chops,
you bet your ass. Carne asada, doesn't matter.
Oh, I see, Fred's a Mexican parrot.
Yes.
Hence the carne asada.
Oh, he loves carne asada. He loves it, I do, too, so
that well. I wish my friend Oscar was cooking again tomorrow. He's cooking for Cinco de Mayo today. I mentioned it over in Oak Hill.
Indeed. Today is Cinco de Mayo.
He's Salvadoran, and my God, that man can cook. And his carnitas are amazing. His guacamole has chopped boiled egg in it, Salvadoran style. So good. And
I still remember.
I love the flavor of the South, baby. That's why I love it. I love living down here. Huh. This is my home.
Don't let your parrot have a taste of lengua. The bird will catch your tongue.
Catch your tongue. He won't eat you. I don't get my tongue anywhere near that beak. I see what that beak can do. And besides that, I really can't claim him anymore. My son Tyler has, he lives to see Tyler. Sits on his shoulder all the time, sits on his head, doesn't matter. Sits on the chair next to him all day long. That bird is with Tyler. I have That's to be very sweet. Cautious about it. And he used to sit on my shoulder all the time. He don't want to do that no more. He wants to sit on Tyler's shoulder. So.
You got some great boys. You really do.
I do. I'm very thankful for my kids. I do. Good kids. Doing good things. So.
Blessing. Absolutely a blessing.
I mean.
You know, I was going to say,
did we get the miracle yet?
No miracle yet. But Matt did take us down to $250. Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much.
Matt, thank you.
And we draw ever closer. So hopefully. But you know, one of the things I was going to mention, John, I've been to Texas once, and I enjoyed Waco.
Come back.
I got to see Austin ever so briefly. And that's one of the grievous things about all of this ugliness and all of this hatefulness that's going on. It's the things you realize you'll never be able to do now.
Well, it's impacted all of our lives since this mess started.
Yeah.
How we look at our neighbors, how we look at states, how we view everything is now looked upon through a different lens.
Paradigm
has shifted.
Yeah, somewhere down the road, I have to get some secondary work done where I had the surgery. And I was talking to the doctor's office down there, the surgeon who did my work, and I said, I can't come down there. And they said, ma'am, we understand. And it's absolutely wrecked everything that we do. So I'm having to find a new surgeon. There's a guy that I might be able to go to up in Columbus, or if I had my druthers, there's one at NYU in New York City.
I'm very close to somebody who's been through transition in it, and that was done in Austin.
Yeah.
But it was done.
I bet I know where.
Yeah. I bet you do.
Because I looked at that place, and then it was like, no, I don't think I can go there. I'm sorry, what?
She had to go up a few days ago for a checkup.
Yeah. I need to do that, too, but...
Yeah.
I'm going to have to transfer my care somewhere else. And, you know, the secondary part of that is finding insurance. But all these places I can't go. Tennessee. I love Tennessee. Alabama. You know, that's my birth dirt, Alabama.
Yeah.
My favorite beach in the world. And
you got to keep fighting, baby.
I have one friend who has already gone from L.A. to L.A., lower Alabama to Los Angeles, for her own safety. And I was saying at the beginning of the program, I've kind of come to the conclusion that I'm going to have to, because I've got less than a 1 year reprieve now before they, you know, really do their dirty business next winter. And
no matter what, Robin, you're going to have to get through Talibandiana if you go up north. I mean, good luck going through any of those states.
No. That's the nice thing. I can just go from here to Columbus, Ohio. Ohio's not quite as awful yet. They're working on it.
Getting there. They're trying.
You know, in many ways, the simplest thing would be to, as far as the surgery is concerned, would be to hop on a plane, fly to New York, maybe impose, I don't even know if she could, but impose on Tara and couch surf with her. Get it done,
Steve.
Get on the plane, come back home.
Bullshit, Robin, it's bullshit. Why should your medical needs be any different than mine or anybody else's?
Now how about we just get a single payer? How about that?
Christopher, we'll get single payer just as quick as right after we get done impeaching Fappy.
Yeah.
That is to say.
Right. Yeah.
And the $15 minimum wage. And the Voting Rights Act, rebuilding that from scratch. Yeah. After all that stuff is done, right?
Right.
Ain't going to be easy, but we can do it. Baby.
Then there's infrastructure.
It can be done.
It can be
Joe
done.
Joe Manchin don't fucking help.
Oh, Lord, no.
He's going to run, right? He's going to run in the...
He's being coy.
He's being challenged, ain't he?
There won't be any meaningful challenge from the Democratic side. But,
no, from a Republican.
Yeah, Make West Virginia great big old governor Jimbo Justice.
Jimbo Justice,
is running, and so is Alex Looney Mooney, the dude from Maryland. So I hope they just beat the tar out of each other. And I think Joe would be insane
to run on that third way ticket, because he'd just be doing it to fuck Joe Biden.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, let me ask you this. You are the Manchin whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a lot of history together, right? I mean,
oh, Justice and Manchin? Yeah, they're
personally no. Manchin and Joe serving in the Senate together.
Yeah,
is there bad blood between them? Any kind of? Do you have any gauge on?
No, it's not so much. It's not so much bad blood. It's just that no matter how much you remember, Joe Biden put Joe to the Manchin Bourne's wife, Gail, at the head of the Appalachian Regional Commission, and that is a plum.
Oh.
Okay? He is given in to Joe and given in to Joe and given in to Joe, and Joe knows that the maggots in West Virginia hate Joe Biden, so he thinks that he thinks that he can play both ends against the middle, I guess is what I'm saying.
And maybe with his delusions of grandeur, he thinks he could actually be the Ross Perot and be the winner. And actually, because if you put yourself in his head, there's no one better on the planet than Joe Manchin, obviously.
Well, and again,
so
the first law of Manchin.
Why wouldn't you vote for him?
The first law of Manchin. No one named Manchin ever does anything that doesn't benefit someone named Manchin.
And he probably figures if half the country hates Joe Biden, half the country hates Donald Trump, I could run right through the middle there, and boom, I could head right for the end zone. And
Very little middle.
Right.
People are pretty well.
But he might be that delusional, narcissistic and delusional to think he could win.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll.
How could somebody delusional ever win?
Well, now, most of you.
Yeah.
I wonder if he'll drive around the campaign trail in his Porsche or his Maserati or whatever the hell it is. Maybe he can sail his yacht.
That big-ass boat. Yeah.
He drives his Maserati.
Sail down the Potomac.
Big-ass boat.
God.
The life of a common man.
Common Joe.
He's a great guy. You can have a beer with him. I've had a beer with Joe.
Yeah. Not a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm out of here. I got to because the iPad that we're on right now is down to 21%. I don't think we'll make it another 10, 15 minutes. It's been a delightful Friday on the front porch, everybody. Thanks so much for joining in. John, it's always great to hear from you, my friend.
Rob, thank you for allowing me in, baby. I appreciate it.
Absolutely always my pleasure. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Y'all hit a pretty good lick this evening. Thank you so much to our challenge offers. Thank you to Trevor for getting us started. Hey, David in Oregon, God, I hope you get everything worked out. I need for that to happen for you, because I'm rooting for you so hard, and we all are. Thank you. Thank you again, everyone. We'll open the program on Monday at $550, unless the community-made miracle happens. It'd be wonderful if it did. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this long-running near two-decade-long conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve. And thank you to Roger in Oregon. Thank you to our news ninjas. Hey, I forgot. I did the like and subscribe at the beginning of the program, so let me do it at the end. If you're listening to the podcast, whatever platform you're on, please like it and subscribe. It would be immensely helpful. Leave a comment. Tell your friends and neighbors. There's something special going on here. I think you can tell. And the entire community would love to hear from more people. So please, like and subscribe. If you're listening on TuneIn, press that heart button if you haven't before. And we will eventually get to 1,000 unique listeners. TuneIn. This is a very much boutique little program. We're not looking for Limbaugh numbers. We're looking for people of goodwill who want to engage in meaningful dialogue and conversation. Doggone it, I've already disconnected from the front porch, and maybe it's because Scott wasn't there. We didn't have any TV viewing. But I tell you what, I'm having a blast watching Mrs. Davis. Annette and I both are. And Ted Lasso. Oh, my goodness, Ted Lasso. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster if possible. Roger shed some light on that earlier. If you fall into one of the groups that can get them. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots. They are a diseased lot. And if that Omicron bounce back or Omicron-like bounce back comes back around, it will be entirely, probably, a result of the recalcitrance of the people who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings and vote for people like Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry some with you, pocket or purse, maintain your social distance, it's still a good idea. And if some clanny granny comes mincing toward you down the sidewalk talking about, it's okay if Tucker Carlson wants to know what goes on in the ladies' room, avoid her like the plague, because she is. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.